much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Nothing is off limits.
While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Adam West, Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969?
When was... Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
You're an idiot asshole.
Na 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 Garmin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Everybody, this is Dr. Drew, and I am a registered sex offender.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
O-M-F-G.
Just like the other one.
Jacksonville, Illinois. Hello.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
But you don't care, do you, Whitey?
Roll another one.
Love is for good-looking young people.
Just like the other one.
Clearly, he didn't bring gum for everyone.
This one seems to be about to end.
You need to go to Riddlewheel.
Riddlewheel.
I don't have another cent.
A wonderful show that entertains with pleasant music and announcements of great interest.
What's that all about?
Just pass it around.
I mean, is it still rape if he has the price?
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Recognize!
I just pass it on down.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights, music!
Our feature presentation.
And the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yay.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new show. It's a Friday morning.
Look, there isn't
How
a
can
Kevin
you already
Bean...
be upset?
I because I am. Because we've been getting the emails, the texts, and the tweets, and the carrier pigeons, and the helicopters dropping leaflets on our houses all night. There isn't a Kevin and Bean curse. When you are an X Games athlete, there are times when bad things are going to happen to you, where you're going to fall, where you're going to get hurt. Being on the Kevin and Bean Show before you ride doesn't mean anything. And they're
Correct.
Not related. Please understand that. Okay?
We joke about it occasionally, but the people who email us do not.
They do not joke. So Chad Kagi was in the BMX Big Air last night. Were you watching, Kevin?
No, I didn't see it last night.
Okay.
I taped it.
So we're yucking it up like we do. We're talking to him yesterday morning, and he says, oh, I shouldn't be asleep right now. You know, it's 7:30 in the morning. I shouldn't be asleep right now, but I got up because it's you guys. So then I'm joking. Please don't say that, Chad, because you don't know our listeners, and now, you know, you're going to be on the TV tonight, and Sal's going to be saying, oh, Chad looks a little tired. I don't know why he didn't get enough sleep.
Yeah,
now suddenly it's going to be our fault.
By the way, that right there was the mistake.
Is
you pointing it out.
Now we're going to blame Bean?
You're pretty much, no, I'm saying he's pretty much telling everybody, if anything happens, it's going to be our fault.
Oh, I see.
Well, I didn't point it out then. He's the one who brought it up. And I was just telling him, you know, I was just telling him to ixnay on the aim blay us way. That's
but
all I was saying.
If you'll remember, at the end of the interview, you said go back to sleep. And
he
said, I've got another interview.
Yes.
So it wasn't just us.
Yes.
So he would have had to, I mean, we may have gotten him up 10 minutes early,
Maybe.
But he would have had to get up anyway, right?
Right.
Yes.
Big day. So I never even heard, and I guess you haven't either, but maybe Dave can run in or something. I never even heard what the eventual diagnosis was, but I just know that he laid there on the ramp for a long time while there were, you know, hushed tones and people were like, well, I hope he's okay. And eventually he did get up and, you know, hobble off, but I never heard, you know, like Travis, he broke his foot yesterday. Travis Pastrana broke his foot yesterday. So I never heard what happened to our buddy Chad, but all I know is I was praying for him to do well. You know what I mean?
Well, sure.
When he got up there, I was thinking, please, Chad, because you don't realize this, but this is going to come back on us if you suck.
But that's dumb. Let's be honest.
Well, I agree. All right. And nobody ever gives us credit for the guys that we talk to that then go on to win something. You know, we only get blamed for the ones that, you know, that have a poor outing. And it's, you know, it's easy to do. But
the nature of what these guys do pretty much says that they're going to wipe out and get hurt on a regular basis.
Well, think of all the bones they've broken. Yeah. You know, 50, 60, 70 bones. There's a pretty good chance every time they do an interview, they break a bone.
That's true. Just
by but I will tell you what was weird. I'm not spoiling anything for you here, Kevin, even though I know you're going to go watch
it's
it.
All right. It's all right to spoil it for me.
And you know with the BMX Big Air, what they do is you go four times, and then they take your best score. So especially the first couple of times, they're just trying everything. They've got a routine that they know they can hit, but they're just trying everything that they think they might get in hopes of getting a bigger score because they've got a backup. You know, they got another chance at it. So the first time Chad gets up, I'm watching, and he, you know, wipes out on his bike, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it doesn't really count. It's not a big deal. But then when he got hurt the next time, I was like, dude, come well, on with
he,
that.
He did go 40 feet in the air and then crashed and broke his femur.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So that's a little bone, right?
Oh. So that's what it was? It was his femur is what he broke?
Mm-hmm. Femur.
I love the king who was tweeting from the Kevin and Bean Twitter account last
night. Congratulations to Chad for his gold.
No. although that's fairly consistent with how accurate he is. No, I don't know that Chad had even hit the ground yet completely when Dave tweeted, "It's not our fault." Which I thought was very, very funny. But both of the big events last night, if I remember correctly, both of them were won by the Moto X, and then the bigger were both won by Australians. The Australians were really on force last night. Wow. But it was a hell of a night. It was a lot of fun. It was really good.
What's Travis going to do with breaking a foot with his weekend? He had like 17 events he was going to do. He's going to fly and race NASCAR.
That's what they were saying last night is they don't know whether, obviously, I mean, I don't know if you got a cat. I don't know what foot it is. I don't remember if it was his, you know, his gas pedal foot or not, or whether he'd even feel up to it to go in for the race. But I guess we'll find out. They were all speculating last night what was going to happen.
These guys are crazy, though. You'll see them break a foot and then they'll go, yeah, I'm going to take my last run.
I know.
Remember Danny Way? Like Danny Way, when he jumped the Great Wall of China, was rehearsing the day before they were going to show it on TV and hurt his ankle/foot, broke it just horribly, and then the very next day it was on TV, did it again and made it.
It's unbelievable.
How do you where's that response to the pain and the hurt? Like for me now, I go, I'm out.
Exactly.
You know why? My foot hurts. But they don't have that. They just go, I think I could still do it.
They're like those guys that don't feel anything when they break stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty rare, but those guys that have to be super careful because they could like bleed out and never even know that they were hurt.
But I think they do, and they ignore
it. They just learn to overcome.
They're just so focused. They're just so focused. And it's such a weird sport. I mean, look, you know, say what you will about all the, you know, the professionals, the major professional sports, and it takes a tremendous amount of focus and athleticism to be a football player, to be a basketball player, whatever it is. These guys, in many cases, have to put everything in 10 seconds, in 20 seconds, in 30 seconds, and that's their whole performance.
Yeah.
And imagine what the concentration has to be like to do the things that they do. This gold last night, Kevin, in the Moto X, Jackson Strong did a front flip on his bike.
Oh,
a front flip, which had never been done before.
I know. It's been tried a bunch of times. And sometimes they get close. Sometimes they don't. They get halfway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so
but would
hard.
Would you ever, I mean, granted, he's a different strain of guy than you and I are, but would you ever be able to get out of your mind all the things that could go wrong with that and all the different ways that you could land? I mean, literally, you are saying, hey, if you want to paralyze me, God, now's a good chance.
Yeah, yes, it's it does
that sounds
seem like
a joke, but think how easy it would be to fall the wrong way when you're trying a trick like that.
But every single X Games, there's somebody that does something that's never been done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is the crazy part of it. That's why it's fun. But I've also been in the crowd 100 times when someone goes down. Like, I was there when Jake Brown fell.
Right. Oh, my God, when his shoes fell off, he fell so
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, they exploded off his feet. And I'm telling you, the electricity in the crowd to... It's like you're at a funeral. I mean, it's just you're so bummed, and you want them to be okay, and no one's talking.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, 18,000 people there, and you could hear a pin drop.
It is interesting that it's so different from the people who love crashes in NASCAR or fights in hockey, because you never want to see somebody get hurt at the X Games.
Right. Well,
you're never happy to see somebody fall or break something.
Yeah, I agree. But it's also, I don't know what it is. It's also those sports kind of, they've got a little padding. They're used to it. They know what right. they're doing. This is, I'm going to let it all hang out, and I could die just by trying.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing about the X Games is I've never seen another sport where every single one of them, to a man that I know of and woman, root on the other contest. They want to win, but they root them on. They want them to do well. They don't want them to crash. You know, they're all watching and applaud. If they do something great, they're applauding. Yeah. It's really great. That part.
It's a terrific weekend. But you can stop with the emails and the tweets about Chad Gagne. He's been hurt before. Okay.
The nature of going down that big air ramp on a bicycle in itself is quite dangerous.
Right.
So that's bound to happen, but I'm sad.
Not my fault.
Sad to hear it. No, I was out last night, and my TiVo recorded nothing.
What?
Oh.
Nothing.
Why?
How do I know? I kept checking, and I looked at it, and it was set right. And
that's weird.
I was going to, you know, check and get the update, and just no... I have X Games scheduled like 25 hours a day.
Uh-oh.
Well... We do have a bunch of highlights, and we'll throughout the weekend up at KevinAndBean.com. The tricks, some of the stuff we were just talking about, for instance, is up. If you want to see the forward flip and whatnot, a lot of that stuff is up at KevinAndBean.com. So we will keep you posted because the show will be down there all weekend long. So definitely check it out if you don't get a chance to see it on the TV.
Man, a forward flip on a motorcycle, that's crazy.
That's unbelievable. I have to see that.
It's just, you don't know how they must have put the brake on the front wheel, but to get that, the bikes are so heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the timing of that is got to be, that's got to be a trick you try 1,000 times, and then you're so lucky if you can do it while it counts, you know?
Oh, that's the thing, is maybe you can do it once out of every 25 times in a foam pit.
Right.
But this is not a foam pit. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Want some poppers?
Sure. Funny man D.L. Hughley on the program
today.
Love him.
Mm-hmm.
We have the director of Cowboys and Aliens, John Favreau.
Awesome.
How about that?
On the program today. Very excited to talk to him about that. He, of course, directed Iron Man as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the movie beat for you. We have Matt Pinfield talking about a reboot of a show on MTV that we think you'll like. We have G4's Kevin Pereira on the program today. We are going to take your near-death experience calls.
Maybe Chad Kagi will call in.
Oh, man. That's rough. We have LA Rising tickets.
Last chance.
Last
this
chance.
It.
This is it. Last, and when you say this is it, what do you mean?
I mean this is it.
This is it when you say that. And we also have Paul Rodriguez, P-Rod. Talking about the X Games. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Friday means the Movie Beat coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of movies, just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Dave the King of Mexico, who may be the only grown man in the world who didn't work on the Smurfs movie, who's going to see the Smurfs movie. What's up with that?
Oh my God.
He talks about it too much for my liking.
And the Smurfs missed me. I don't get the appeal of the Smurfs, I must be honest.
Well, I think that was a time and a place. If it was during your childhood
right.
and you enjoyed the Smurfs, fine. But for most of us, then you turn 7 and then
you
leave that behind. You go on to whatever's next.
Adult thing.
Right. So, and by the way, just not to give too much away, but I did ask him about his nephew, who he takes to movies like this, and he said, no, my nephew doesn't want to go.
He's going by himself.
So I'm going to go by myself.
Oh, my God.
So that's good times.
Well, we'll try to find out why and explore the psyche that is the King of Mexico on the way. But first, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. How are you, Ralph?
You'd think with all the money they're saving on toilet paper here at the station, they'd be able to buy a printer cartridge.
You'd think that would be something you'd be able to get pretty easily. Because this is a business, right? And businesses use printers and computers and things.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
So, you know, 4 days ago when we said the printer was out of ink.
4 days? Is that a joke?
No. You'd think they'd say, oh, well, you know what we'll do? We'll go into the supply room and we'll get a printer cartridge out and we'll swap that out for you.
Right.
And, you know, you can't just go to somebody and say, hey, can you fix the printer cartridge?
Nope.
You got to file in triplicate form and email to the help desk, which then gets processed. And then I think they sent it to Guam at the home office there, at
no.
Business Affairs.
None of that happens. You send it to the help desk and they throw it away.
Son of a bitch.
It's at least 90 days to get anything done. You know that, Ralph.
Run like a Chinese whorehouse.
Are you handwriting your reports now, Ralph? Is that what we're at?
Well, there's no pens or pencils here either. So I just opened a vein. I'm sort of smearing the stories on the paper with blood.
Excellent.
Somebody's gone down, I'm telling you. Save this tape for the cops, because they're going to need to know why. And I come in here strapped with a vest full of dynamite.
Yeah, maybe don't make those jokes, Sam the Armenian comedian.
Oh, it's different.
No.
Yes. You think it's different?
You're more likely to follow through with
exactly.
it than Sam was.
Yes. Scarlett Johansson is the latest big-time smoking hot celebrity who was received an invite to the Marine Corps Ball.
Oh, right, that's enough already.
This is really getting crazy.
Yeah, it's left and right now. Every I think YouTube has an entire channel dedicated to Marines asking celebrities to the ball. Sergeant Dustin Williams is his name, and he asked Scarlett Johansson to be his escort. She declined. By saying that Dustin deserves recognition for his bravery, selflessness, and dedication to the United States and its people. But look at him and look at me, she said.
No, she didn't say that.
No, she didn't.
She didn't I say
kidding,
that.
Kevin,
no
a
possible way.
Now, apparently it's a scheduling thing. But she did send a case of Moët and Chandon champagne for the ball, saying, I want you to raise a glass to you and all the men and women of the U.S. Marine Corps, past and present. And thanks for your continued commitment to preserving the safety of our nation. But seriously, I'm way too hot for you, and I'm not going.
You think right now the Marines are all just thumbing through every maxim that's ever been put out?
Is Sarah Shahi available? I told you yesterday that Pippa was the hottest first name for newborns, according to Nameberry.com. What I forgot to mention is that Pippa now is also the most requested ass for women getting butt lifts.
What does that mean?
They take in pictures of Pippa's ass, and they say, we want to look like this.
No.
And so the doctors use that as a surgery guide in doing the butt lifts and butt implants to try to create the Pippa look for women.
Is it just me, or was 2 months ago, was Pippa nobody?
Well, she was nobody until the wedding.
Yeah.
And by the way, her ass is fine, but
yeah,
it's not
but
like it should be bronzed and put in the Ass Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Where is that? I'd like to visit.
El Segundo. El Segundo, yeah.
Her ass does have a Facebook page, though, right?
Yeah, I believe it does, yeah. Dr. Constantino Mendieta is his name, and he said, although breast implants at one time reigned supreme, now it's the buttocks that is considered a woman's best asset. Oh, no, he didn't.
See, because he worked the word ass into it.
Apparently, Pippa has bumped J-Lo's butt and Kim Kardashian's butt off the charts as the most requested ass.
Huh.
I don't know Pippa, but I'm already full of her. I'm already done with Pippa.
Yeah, I have plenty of love for Pippa left in my life. I'm fine to hear more about her.
She is just standard. You know, if she wasn't the sister of a princess, if she hadn't been all over the TVs during all that hype for that wedding, no one would look twice at her walking down Sunset Boulevard. It's insane.
I'd give her a little more than that. I'd give her a 6.5. But having said that, nothing like this. I mean, they're acting like she's 11, and she's not.
No. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Will Wheaton's 39 years old today. Stephen Dorff, very talented actor, turns 38. Josh Radnor of How I Met Your Mother's 37. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley. We gotta get some Gnarls Barkley on today. I love their stuff.
I do too.
34 years old today, and Allison Mack. She played Chloe for many seasons on Smallville. She's adorable. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Keiko Mexico's with us here.
Yo, yo.
And he's very excited because there's a movie coming out today. Now, look, everybody has their tastes, right? I like all kinds of bad movies. I know that. I've accepted it. Yep. I like movies a lot of people hate. That's fine. Okay, good. No worries. But every time a Smurfs commercial comes on, Dave perks up. And I think he gets a semi. And then
I get chubbed, yeah.
And then he starts like talking about, oh, that's going to be good. That's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that movie.
I want to see the Smurfs.
And have you seen the trailer for the Smurfs? Have you seen that?
I have, yes. I don't understand it. I don't get. But again, as I said earlier, the Smurfs were not in my childhood. Maybe that's the key here. And I assume they were for you, Dave. But I just don't understand what the appeal is of those little ugly animated guys.
Kevin, you know you get mad when people, like when movies, like the trailer comes out and it says 2012.
Yeah, of
the
course.
Summer tools. Well, last summer when it said Smurfs coming in 2011, you don't know how happy that made me. And I
waited for it.
I don't know. It's just this is a cartoon from my childhood that I really, really loved.
Right.
And
here's the thing:
8 or 9 years of my life were devoted to this. Not devoted, but you know, watching the Smurfs on TV.
Okay, fine.
Wait a minute. But 8 or 9 years. We're talking about people growing out of it at 7.
Yeah, well,
that's a good point,
Lisa. And they
probably
didn't start until they were like 2.
But even so, let's say you started when you were, let's just say 7 and to 14.
Yeah.
Then you got into high school.
Uh-huh.
And that's when
discovered
you realized.
Discovered boobs.
Right, you realized there were women.
Right.
Well, you know, there's chicks in Smurfs, too.
Sure they're super hot.
You know, Smurfette.
Can you tell?
No.
Yeah. She has long blonde hair.
Oh, her hair. Okay. Well, that makes all the difference.
It's just, you can't be that excited about it. You're just saying it to bug us.
No, honestly, I wasn't. And
it's the bean track. Yeah.
It is. It's the bean thing.
Yeah.
You just say it to get a reaction.
I just always just got happy and said, I can't wait for that movie, you know? And the Smurfs were always funny.
Right.
And they were always, it was always a good show.
But
so why would it be a good movie?
For a 2-year-old.
But let me ask you a question. Because all of us have had cartoons or TV shows or whatever that we grew up with.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeing a movie about any of the ones I grew up with. I don't know why. They were great at the time.
Right.
But then you have another birthday and then you go, wow, that sucks now. I like new stuff.
So wait, Kevin. So if they were to make, let's just take an example from your childhood. If they were to make a movie out of the Transformers, for instance, you wouldn't be interested in seeing something like that.
How dare you?
It wasn't even your childhood and you still were excited
for that. But here's the thing, Bean. That movie looked awesome whether I had ever seen the Transformers before or not.
And this movie looks good.
It stood on its own. This movie doesn't look good.
For a family. And for kids, it looks good.
Do you have a family or kids?
I have a nephew. Close enough.
Is he coming with you?
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Dave can't masturbate if his nephew is with him. Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Dave. I never would have even noticed. I would not have piled on about the Smurfs thing if this weren't on the heels of how excited you were about the Winnie the Pooh movie 2 weeks ago.
Well, don't even get me started on Winnie the Pooh. That's just...
What? That's just
the best. He's the best. And that's another thing I grew up with.
But see, here's another thing. I used to watch Winnie the Pooh, and I liked it. But
what's wrong with going to watch a movie that you like?
Because I'm not that person that I was.
Because you're 45 years old, Dave. That's why. All right, listen. We got a special guest for you, Dave.
Dave's
you
don't 70, know. And he's looking forward to the freaking Smurfs.
You don't know about this, said Dave, but we got a little bit concerned when we heard about your level of enthusiasm for the Smurfs. And again, it's important to mention, Dave's not taking his nephew. He's going to see it by himself
Dave,
this weekend.
Let me just clarify that, Dave, if you don't mind. Dave asked his nephew if he would go with him. His nephew refused.
Because his nephew's too old for this, that's why. But we have lined up an actual psychiatrist, Dave.
What?
Dr. Hans Schievel joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now to tell us if there's anything we ought to be worried about with you and your obsession with the Smurfs. Dr. Schievel, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
It is my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on your radio program.
I know that it is unorthodox to ask you to diagnose someone you have not had the opportunity to spend time with in your office. You've only heard the conversation we've had here on the air, but we do have the subject with us. Dave, if you have any questions.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Ordinarily, I do not like to diagnose someone without having them actually in the office. But in this case, I make an exception because that's obviously he is an asshole.
That's true.
Oh, my asshole.
That is true.
Is that an official condition?
Yeah, that is.
Yes, it is, actually. He has what we call assholeitis. And it is obviously an arrested development case where he has never proceeded from his childhood into full adulthood. And so it comes from having an infantile penis.
Is that what it is?
You can tell that just from a couple of minutes on the phone?
I can tell from his lack of usage of vowels.
He does call it the Smarfs.
It is pretty accurate.
And we're not sure why.
Yeah, he's looking forward to the Smarfs. I don't even know what a Smarf is.
And then you see the trailer and you go, well, you know what? If I had little kids.
Right.
Here's the thing.
If I had little children, I would beat them if they wanted to go see Smarfs.
Well, you wouldn't really, though. You might take them for their enjoyment, to see them be happy. But you would...
That movie would make no one happy.
But you wouldn't be happy.
Little obnoxious little blue things running around with the gay Doogie Howser.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is in it, yeah. And yeah, they're in Central Park. They get kicked out of wherever they live, and then they need to get back by the evil wizard. Come on.
Yeah, this movie would be unimpressive even to zygotes.
How can you not want to see a movie with Papa Smurf, Smurfette, Brainy, Hefty, Cobbler Smurf, Grouchy Smurf?
You're
Smurfs.
Answering your own question with every word.
Those Smurfs are so funny.
Doctor, my only recommendation for helping your friends in the studio is to kill him.
That's your professional opinion?
Oh, come on.
Yes, my professional opinion is murder.
Just put him down?
But painfully. Make him suffer.
Okay. Done and done.
We'll do.
Cowboys and Aliens, one of the biggest, most anticipated movies of the summer, opens everywhere today. We've got director Jon Favreau coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show later. Boy, what a great guy the Favs is. And we've been having him on forever. And who would have ever thought back when he was that guy from Swingers that he would end up being one of the biggest directors in the world?
Yeah, and one of the coolest guys we've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he became this super successful director, and we could not have been happier for him. But we know how things work, and he's supposed to move on and cut us out of his life.
That's true. Right. He should never talk to us again.
That's what you're supposed to do.
He should be Seacrest only at this point, but he still makes time for Kevin and me, which we appreciate. Speaking of Cowboys and Aliens, Ralph had a fascinating story that I had not heard a couple of days ago about the beautiful star of the movie, Olivia Wilde. Of course, this is, Harrison Ford is in this, Daniel Craig. Olivia Wilde plays the hot love interest in the movie. And by the way, I don't think she really gets naked, and I think she's got a body double. But anyway.
Is the body double hot?
Yes, she is.
Good enough.
You're fine with that.
Yeah.
So she was saying that, they got a giant scene with everybody's riding horses because it's a Western. And she says, we're riding 40 horses deep, galloping into battle. If you watch really closely in the movie, you might be able to catch it, but I got bucked off and I fell under my horse. I was about to get trampled by about 40 horses. But Walter Goggins, one of the other actors in the movie, turned his horse sideways and saved my life. So I'm very lucky to be here tonight. So I guess that one guy turned his horse sideways, and that kind of diverted the flow of all the horses that were behind
around
where Olivia had fallen. And we started talking about that, and Ralph brought up at the time, man, I mean, talk about literally lucky to be alive. Literally, she could have died on that movie set. What must that be like for her? And I guess lots of people have near-death experiences. Were it not for, good luck or things going a little bit differently or a couple seconds in timing, a lot of us might not be.
Yeah, and you also don't know how close you were to death. Like, sometimes you think you're going to die and you weren't close. Sometimes you think you're fine and you were within seconds of dying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really difficult. But when you have that consciousness, when you go, okay, death is next on my list of things to do, that's when you start freaking out.
It's the scariest thing in the world.
It was so weird when we were having this conversation in the office yesterday because producer Alex got a little bit wide-eyed because everybody's going around the room talking about their near-death experience. And Alex is like, what's going on? How is this possible? I haven't had mine yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Lisa, you had one that I don't think I had heard the story of before.
When I was, I think I was in high school, and I went down to La Jolla, and there's a place called The Clam, which I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
And it's a cliff that people jump off of into the ocean.
Fantastic.
And there's a cove down below, and you can either climb up the rocks and then climb back up, or you swim all the way around to the beach, and the water like shoves you up onto the rocks. So I jumped down and I couldn't get off the rocks, and I was just being rolled around on the rocks.
So let me see if I get this straight. You had an episode where you couldn't get off the rocks?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I was drowning.
Really?
You were absolutely drowning.
You literally couldn't get a breath.
I couldn't get a breath, and I was being taken down, and all of this sounds so bad.
It does. No, it sounds,
all this sounds so good.
But this guy that had also jumped with me, I had these big ties on the side of my bikini, and
he untied your bikini?
No, he grabbed it and pulled.
She's going down. I can see everything.
Pulled me off the rocks and basically took me all the way around, and we climbed up on the beach, and my legs were just sliced open. And I didn't even feel it. It was unbelievably scary.
What was going through your mind? Were you conscious on two levels? Of one is, oh my God, I have to figure out a way to breathe. But was there also a little voice in the back of your head saying, if this goes on much longer, you really are going to drown?
Complete panic and hysteria is what was...
This is it.
Yeah.
That's what you were just thinking.
It was just, you know, you're just scrambling for a breath. And that's all I was thinking about. There wasn't anything beyond, I mean, but I did know at that moment that I was screwed.
Yeah. Well,
and again, not in a good way.
None
of that was in a good way.
All right.
Do you think if that guy had not been there to pull you out, that might have been the end?
I do.
Wow.
I really do. Yeah.
Did that change your life afterward?
I never did it again.
That's all.
I'll tell you that.
She just never jumped in that cove again.
Nope.
Now, every 4th of July, Kevin, you have a near-death experience.
Oh, how dare you?
No, I'm just suggesting.
Mine was when I flipped my car. When I was coming back from Burning Man, and there was a cow in the middle of the road, and I swerved, and then all of a sudden I started flipping my car. And it was at 1 a.m., so I couldn't see anything. I didn't know if there was a cliff and a 50-foot fall or a giant rock. I literally could see nothing, but the car was flipping, and I could feel it flipping, so I was just holding on, and I just went, well, here we go. Had a good life. Sure wish the last thing I didn't see was an old man's balls at Burning Man. That's not how I want to go out.
So it's amazing, and you always hear stories from people who go through experiences like this. You were probably in the air in your car, what, 6, 7, 8 seconds?
Yeah,
maybe?
Probably.
Right. But you had time enough to have those thoughts of, I don't know what's happening or how this is going to end, but it's very possibly this could be my death.
Well,
right?
And there was hit too in between. So like when it would hit the ground and then flip again, and it would hit the ground and then flip again. So every time it hit the ground, like I didn't know. I just didn't know. And at that point, you're out of control. So you just hold on to the steering wheel and you just go, I have zero. There's nothing I can do right now to help. I hold on. And hopefully don't die, but I think I'm going to.
And the car's moving way too fast and way too erratically to be able to jump out of it.
No possible way. Couldn't
do anything like that, right? Yeah. Man. Yep.
That's crazy. Tell yours. Beans is the best. And then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
By the way, after self-surgery yesterday and near-death calls today, are we trying to bum everybody out? What's the trend here? Well, mine was very much a near-death experience. I mean, I had the exact same thought you did, which is, here it comes. I've got about 3 seconds to live. I'm sad that this is how it ended, but I was in Norway on vacation a few years ago, and not necessarily speaking the Norwegian as well as I should. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize what the words were that were written on a road sign when I took a turn to go down a street that I would have been lucky had it only been a one-way street and I had been going in the wrong direction. It was, in fact, a train track with a train heading directly toward me.
All right, now, here's my question for you. When you turn onto a road and it's a train track.
Right.
I don't know. To me, that's not a road. To me, if I see a train track coming out of a tunnel, I think, don't go there because that's for trains. I don't care if I speak the language or not.
They don't have it set up as clearly marked as we do in the United States of America.
Were there train tracks or was it hovering?
No, there were train tracks.
Okay, all right.
There were train tracks. So I turned onto the train tracks and 3 seconds later, there was a train in my view heading directly toward me. So I don't have
to put it in reverse.
Oh my
God. Did you try to put it in reverse and hit it?
There would have been no way I could put it in reverse and back up at that angle to get off of the train track. So all I could do, and thank God, by the way, at least I had the thought to do this. All I could do was step on the gas and turn the wheel hard right up against the wall.
So you just hugged the wall.
Just hugged the wall, got as far over as I could. I mean, including, like, you know, smashing my rearview mirror on the passenger side just to get onto the wall as far off the tracks as I could. And it was just enough. I mean, by 2 inches, it was just enough.
And the train didn't even slow down?
No. I mean, I don't know if it was officially a high-speed train. I can't guarantee it was going 100 miles an hour. It was probably going at least 30 or 40 miles an hour.
It doesn't matter. If it's going 5 miles an hour, you're dead.
Right. This train just zipped by me, and I mean, it was, I could have just barely put my hand out of the driver's side window and touched it when it went by. I mean, that's how close it was.
Sweet.
And of course, you know, with all the rattling and all the noise, and my heart is beating a million miles a second, and I mean, it was such a panic-filled few seconds, and then the train was gone, and then you just look around, and you go, I can't believe I didn't get hurt. I can't believe
how
that I'm alive
alive
right now.
Yeah.
How am I still alive?
But
that
I do need to change my pants.
I need to change my pants, and I need to stop turning down roads that have train tracks on them.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was shocking. And I can't say it changed my life either, by the way. But I will tell you that I consider myself very, very lucky that I didn't die that day in Norway.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, that stupid train. It can't just veer a little bit.
How dare you?
It can't just veer
They're
a bit.
On a track.
I can't lean. Can it do anything?
You thought it should have seen me and,
yes!
and aimed for me?
Yes! Who's the dumb tourist that's driving at this train? That tourist needs to die.
1-800-520-1067. Man, we've got some great calls already, including car accidents, including in Iraq with a roadside bomb. We've got turned blue. Mom rescued her. Lots of people near death, but they're all alive to talk to us, and we'll do that next, coming up on the Kevin and Bean. Dear Kevin and Bean, this actually, it's a tweet coming in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's kind of cool to know that Lisa May almost drowned going clam diving. Yeah, if you didn't hear the story, it's not quite as exciting as it sounds. But we are talking about near-death experiences here on the show. Lots of people have had them. A few seconds or a few inches in either direction, you might not be here to make this phone call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Stephanie, by the way. She's the one who I mentioned turned blue. Let's find out what this is all about and if Dave's going to want to go see her because she sounds like she might be a Smurf. Steph, how are you?
I'm not a Smurf.
Oh, you're not a Smurf.
A Smurf? Okay, good. What happened? Your near-death experience.
I actually had respiratory failure and went without air for about 4 minutes.
Ooh,
man.
Oh,
four
dude.
Minutes.
That's getting into brain dead territory damage,
yeah,
anyway.
I used to be more of a Lisa than a Kevin.
How dare you?
Nice.
So what what did you have? I mean, what caused that?
I actually have severe asthma. I was having an asthma attack and met my mom in the kitchen and I said, I'm going now, and completely passed out. She called 911. The very handsome fireman came out, ripped off my clothes, and proceeded to try to bring me back to life.
How
proper music for that. Let's get
yeah,
back
okay.
to that
well, part. Hold on. How old were you at this time, Stephanie?
I was in my early 30s.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine. That's right. I got no problem with that. Okay, I was worried this was going to be some preteen story, but yeah. So there. How do they bring you back to life if you're having an asthma attack? How do they get you to get the lungs to inflate and start getting some oxygen
mouth
to you?
The mouth.
Well, it gets into tubes down your throat and that kind of thing.
Ew.
Oh, dude. Wow. Was that the worst of the asthma attacks you ever had?
Yeah. So far.
Okay. Oh well, gosh. Fingers crossed. I'm glad you're here. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's try Victor, by the way. I didn't even think about police officers, but of course, you know, the near-death experiences all the time. Victor, thanks for hanging on, buddy. What happened?
I'm a correctional officer for the state.
I was working at a
prison up in Monterey County, and it was morning. We were feeding these guys their breakfast, and we have some of the guys come out to actually assist as workers. And this guy comes out. I'm on one side, my partner's on the other, and he comes out with a homemade weapon from directly underneath his shirt, and I took it in the neck, shoulder, arms, hands. My partner got it in the neck as well, a little bit in the shoulder.
How did the guy make a machine gun out of parts that he had there? How many bullets did he shoot?
But I was kind of worried about my partner shooting me in the back because we've got a gunner up there, too, and... You know, when somebody pulls a weapon out of their shirt, you don't see that coming.
Were you wearing a bulletproof vest?
They're not bulletproof. They're stab resistant. But the thing is, you're pretty well exposed, and they know where to go because they know that we're wearing the vest.
Oh, right. I see. So they shoot.
So they aim. Why am I going to go for the biggest part if I can just go, you know,
right.
Neck's not protected.
Yeah, go for the neck. Exactly. Now, a guy like that who's already in jail and sounds like a pretty, you know, hardened criminal anyway, what do they then add on to his sentence if he attacks a corrections officer?
Nothing. I mean, really.
What?
The guy's already doing time. He's already, you know, got the rest of his life in there. What, his birthday?
Nothing to lose.
Yeah. Wow. How about that?
They'll send him up to Pelican Bay, but that's about it. You know, he earned himself some bones and. Now he's got some respect from his friends. So,
gotcha. You got any cool scars out of it, Victor?
Yeah, I got a couple, but you know, it's still part of the job. Now I'm down here, and I'm in a lot slower place.
Good for you. Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. We really appreciate
it. You have a good one.
Who's Kevin and Bean listener Dom? You guys got to talk to him yesterday. Got an email from him. What's the story here?
Let's see here, Dom.
Yep.
Hi there. What was your near death experience?
Oh, hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hi.
Yeah. My girlfriend took me to Catalina a couple years back.
set up a horseback ride, and ended up taking us up a ridiculous, like the side of a mountain pretty much, for both of our first times on a horse. When you get to the top of the mountain, you turn around, Catalina's behind you, it's a really beautiful picture, but it's about a, I don't know, it's a drop, like a drop into hell straight down.
Right.
On all sides. My girlfriend's horse was in front of me, didn't like my horse or any of the other horses apparently, and bucked at my horse, which was the largest they had, because I was the largest they had that day.
Right.
And before I knew it, both his hooves were off the back of the end of the cliff there, and we were sliding backwards, and I tried to lean up on him, and it did nothing, pretty much. At first I thought, hey, it's a horse, he'll take care of it, but he didn't. And we slid again, and if it wasn't for the instructor jumping off his horse and grabbing on, we would have been...
You would have just slid down over the cliff.
Yeah, there was about like a 3 or 4 foot, like kind of a slide, and then just a sheer drop off.
All right, let's check out. Let's gut check now. Let's see what kind of a guy you are. Have you ever ridden a horse since?
Absolutely not.
Pussy?
Yeah, Well, yeah.
Look, it's not that fun.
Thanks for the call. No, I'm just saying.
But what a beautiful view on the way down, though. I mean, if you're going to die, at least. You know, it's like the people who jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, they jump off facing the beautiful view of the San Francisco, and they go, hey, at least they see something great in their last second. Right?
I don't think that's
what they're focusing on.
Well, maybe not.
They're thinking, what did I just do?
It's an amazing view. I wish I had a camera. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin Devine Show. But first,
right?
You go now.
Kill the music there. Yeah.
You want me to kill the music? Okay.
Your last chance at LA Rising tickets. The show is tomorrow, kids. So this is it. So if you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for you. If you are a fan of Muse, Rise Against, or Rage Against the Machine, and can stump our friend Rodney with musical trivia about any of those three headlining bands. Now, here's the thing about Rodney. Rock and roll legend, has been around since the 1920s. This guy knows everything there is to know about music.
That's all you need to know about Rodney, is he's unstumpable.
He's unstumpable.
It's not possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got a great trivia question about one of those three bands, you can throw it at Rodney and see if you can get it. If you can stump him, you'll go into the drawing to win the final pair of tickets for LA Rising. That's coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Devine Show. Now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Looks like we may have a Tupac situation with Amy Winehouse.
What?
Many spokesmen surrounding Amy say that there is so much material she left behind unfinished that there may be several posthumous Amy Winehouse albums
someone murdered her.
Yes, Amy Winehouse was shot in Vegas.
You said a Tupac situation. I didn't know.
Well, Tupac released a lot of music after he passed away.
So I hope there is. I think she's a good singer.
Apparently, Universal Music has finished the framework of at least a dozen new songs that they're going to put an album out. Bare bones tracks so far, but her vocals are there, and they need to add some more music, but... Winehouse apparently was in the studio quite a bit over the last few years. She could never finish anything, but she did a lot of demos and was always writing. So, seems to be a ton of Amy Winehouse material left over. So,
I have a feeling that we might have some clips on Monday.
I'll be looking forward to hear those. Looking forward to hearing your work on those. It should be interesting. Linda Ronstadt, speaking of music, she was a huge, huge star in the 70s and somewhat in the
80s. Hot. She was so hot back in the
day.
She hot? My God.
Yeah,
oh, super so hot.
She is writing a tell-all autobiography called Heart Like a Wheel, which was the name of one of her songs. She had a long relationship with former and now present California Governor Jerry Brown for a long time, and George Lucas, and Linda reportedly will reveal all about those relationships in the book.
All right.
I'm assuming the Lucas chapter will be very, very short. They went out for a long time, but really, how exciting could that have been? Lucas is like... Yeah, that's we're here in the ranch, and we're going to go ride a horse, okay.
So the headline will say George Lucas, and then it'll just say one word, boring.
Yeah.
Next.
Seems like a dullard. Genius, but a dullard. Although, apparently, he would put on the Chewbacca mask when they had sex. So.
Sweet.
That would be awesome.
People who live interesting lives should be required to write a book. I want these stories to come out.
Okay. She's doing it.
I applaud that. I wish there were more.
All right. Bean demands more, people. Do you hear?
Start writing, people. Wait till you read the Rob Kardashian autobiography. No, there isn't one planned, but he may have a new chapter. Apparently, Dancing with the Stars has locked down Rob Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
As one of their official celebrity dancers.
What a get.
Oh, good for you, Dancing with the Stars. Finally, you're going back to the A-listers. Finally, you're filling your shows with top-notch celebrities we all can't wait to see more of.
They learned their lesson with Psycho Mike.
This is the one that's living with Chloe, the brother that's living with Chloe and Lamar, right?
Lisa, how could I possibly know what Rob Kardashian is doing?
I think that's who it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't even know there was a Rob Kardashian until this morning when I read this story.
He's on their show.
Yeah, apparently he's on board. So Kim danced back in 2008, and now Rob is the second of the Kardashian family to pursue the coveted mirror ball.
Do you think Rob, like Kim, is going to sit in his dressing room and pray to God that she get kicked off?
Yeah, I hope so. Rob Kardashian.
Right.
Dancing with the Stars. Come on.
I mean, seriously, Courtney and Chloe are not even celebrities. They're only famous because their sister is a celebrity, and she's only famous for having a sex tape. So how far past that are you going to get to Rob?
We're going to start having hired help of the stars dancing there. It'd be like the housekeeper that used to clean up
dancing
after
with the
Gene
housekeepers
Simmons,
of
brother.
The stars.
Damn. And now that Oprah's off of television, you know who's the richest woman on television?
Richest woman on television.
Biggest money-making woman on television now that Oprah has retired.
Is it a news person?
It is not a news person.
Is it Ellen?
It is not Ellen.
Martha Stewart?
It is not Martha Stewart.
Not Rachel news. Ray?
It is not Rachel Ray.
Barbara Walters?
It's not Barbara
Walters.
Is it
an actress on a fiction?
No, it is a reality, pseudo-reality-based entertainment program.
Pseudo-reality?
Yeah.
Nancy O'Dell?
It is not Nancy O'Dell.
I don't know.
These are all excellent choices, though. Judge Judy Scheindlin.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Really?
Judge Judy, who was revealed this week, makes $45 million a year.
Just for saying...
I want you to answer my question.
Yes.
Jeez.
$45 million a year for that show.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. All you do is yell at people who... roommates who have... unpaid electric bills.
Not interested, sir.
It's madness.
Did you say 45 million?
That's what I said.
So you get Zippo, nada.
The good news is she works 5 days out of the month filming those episodes.
My God.
5 days a month?
Yes. Every month she goes in the studio for 5 days, they bang out a bunch of episodes, and then she goes away for another month.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
$45 million.
Why do I have this many Judge Judy drops?
I don't know. But they came in handy once.
She hasn't been popular. I mean, I didn't even know she was on TV for the last 10 years.
She's still on television. She's making 45 mil.
That's unbelievable.
Cannot wrap my head around it.
45 million.
Does she own the show? I mean, that's got to be what it is, right, Ralph?
I'm guessing she has, at least she has profit participation.
That's how you make the big dough, is you own it. Yeah. She must.
Take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Allison Mack, who played Chloe on Smallville for many seasons. She is 29 years old. Danger Mouse, Gnarls Barkley. He's 34 years old. Stephen Dorff, talented actor, 38.
He's the guy who does the golf videos, right?
Oh, Gilligan. Will Wheaton from Star Trek The Next Generation and other things. Stand By Me and stuff. No, he's been active. He's 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
People ask what the name of that song is more than any other, and it shocks me because they say anything, anything about 2,500 times, so the name of the song is anything, anything.
All right, anything, anything.
It's world famous K-Rock at 8 minutes after 7.
Rama Rama.
Hi, Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
All right, Rodney on the Rock
All
Show.
All right, hold on.
Thanks for tuning in. Thank
Got
you, Rodney.
Great guests coming up later.
No, you
today.
Don't. It's not your show. It's the Kevin and
David
Bean show.
Cassidy's coming by.
No, we're not going to have
Arthur and Love.
Not happening.
Time for that. But listen, Rodney.
Go-Go.
Here's why we have you here today.
All
because
right.
You're a music expert, especially from the 70s and 80s, but you also have stayed current. You're still doing a radio show, albeit one that is buried in the middle of the night so no one has to hear it. But the point is, you know a ton about Rage Against the Machine, as much about Muse, just as much about Rise Against. We're going to give listeners the opportunity to try to stump you with trivia about those bands to win tickets for tomorrow's LA Rising. You ready?
All right. What do I win?
You don't win. They win.
All right. I win tickets.
All right. Let's start with Crystal.
Wait. Where's the intro? Don't we have a big intro?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do. My shows run better.
Can you stop Rodney? Can you stop Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah,
wigwam bam.
All right.
All right, okay. Let's start with Crystal.
That is Godhead.
Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
Welcome to Sup Rodney. Good luck. It's not possible, but go ahead and ask a question.
All right.
All right, what is Matt Bellamy's fiance's name?
Sheena Easton.
You're right. Didn't even think about it.
Now, I know. Matt Bellamy, what do I win?
Popular lead singer from Muse, Rodney. Real hard, because he's in all the tabloids and all the entertainment shows. He's got a very famous Hollywood girlfriend, now fiance.
He already answered.
Rodney, you're sticking with Sheena Easton?
No, okay. Changing my answer.
Okay.
Sheila E.
Sheila E.
Yeah, all right.
Crystal, is it Sheila E.?
No. Kate Hudson.
See, we thought you might know that one, Rodney. All right, you're in the drawing to win the ticket, so hang on, Crystal. Well done. You were able to stump Rodney, which I didn't think was possible.
All right. Once, but this is not twice. Certainly
Sinead
not twice.
O'Connor? Sinead O'Connor is the right answer?
The answer was already given.
All right, what did I win?
Marilyn, hi.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Stump Rodney.
Thanks. Hi, Rodney.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is, who is the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine?
Alice Cooper.
What are you talking about, Alice Cooper?
School's out.
Alice Cooper was like a singer from the early 70s.
School's out.
It's
all
the
right.
Replacement.
The Replacements. All right.
Marilyn, tell Rodney that it's not Alice Cooper and who it really is.
Sorry, Rodney. It's Zach De La Rocha.
Yeah.
Stevie Forbert.
She just gave you the answer. Why are you still guessing?
In Rodney's
Benny Mardones.
That was a very difficult question, though. Who could have possibly known that one? All right, congratulations.
Gary Newman.
Okay,
right.
She already told you it's not any of those. Marilyn, hang on. You were in the drawing. Let's
Marilyn
try
Manson.
Tiffany, 1-800-520-1067.
Tiffany, all right. I love Tiffany.
Stop it!
I think we're alone now. What? Love that song.
Hi, Tiffany.
I saw you in the Mall tour back when you were touring malls.
Tiffany's not on the phone. Her name is...
I went with... She's. Cher's cousin.
It's not the same person.
We went to see Tiffany in a mall, and there were so many kids.
Let her ask the question,
underage
Rodney.
Girls all over the mall. It was hard to get through the mall. It was crowded.
Tiffany, go ahead. Stump Rodney.
Okay, so before the band was called Muse, what did they call themselves?
Spandau Ballet.
Is it Spandau Ballet?
No, Rocket Baby Dolls.
There you go. All right.
Rodney, thank you. You're in the drug. Did
New
you
York
really
Dolls?
Think it Okay,
no.
But did you really think it was Spandau Ballet?
Oh,
did you
right.
really think that band from the 80s turned into Muse?
What did I win?
I'm not sure Rodney can hear. I think he might be completely dumb.
Bananarama?
All right. Let's try
Musical Youth.
I'm looking for
Pass
any question that Rodney might know, but I can't find one.
All right.
Let's try Daniel. Daniel's on line 5. We'll give him the opportunity to stump Rodney. Again, we're playing for LA Rising tickets. The big show is tomorrow. Daniel, you're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. That's Godhead. Your phone is Godhead.
Let's try Mike. Mike's on line 6. Sorry,
Mike
Daniel.
And the Mechanics?
No,
we're talking about the callers. We're not talking about bands now.
Right.
This is a
Living
listener
years.
Named Mike. Hi, Mike.
Love that song.
Good morning.
All right.
All right. What did I win?
What's your question for Rodney?
All right. After Coachella, where was the last place that Rage played in L.A.?
Berlin.
Berlin is not in L.A.
Berlin, California.
What's wrong with you?
Is it Berlin, Mike?
No, it's not.
What
it's,
is it?
The Hollywood Palladium.
There you go.
Devo?
It was that charity show, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You're in the drawing. Hang on.
Kevin knew that one, Rodney, but you somehow it slipped your mind, right?
All right.
I don't think Rodney's on fire today like usual. He's been beat a couple of times.
What did I win?
We have time for one more?
Yeah. Which one do you want to go to? Good luck.
It doesn't matter.
I'm starving. Let's go to Rock and Roll Denny's.
It really doesn't matter. Let's do
Moons
Matt.
Over my hammy.
That's,
all right.
Let's go to Matt. Maybe this one, Rodney.
Matt is Godhead.
Hi, Matt.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? What's the name of Rise Against first CD?
I Eat Cannibals. It's incredible.
Is it I Eat Cannibals?
All right.
No, it's not.
No, what's it called?
The Unraveling.
There you go.
Okay, you didn't know that one, Rodney, it looks like.
Lips Incorporated.
Okay, so everybody apparently, Crystal and Marilyn and Tiffany and Matt and Mike, they're all in the drawing.
All right.
Lisa May.
What did I win?
This is weird, Rodney's usually not stubbable, but today...
What did I win?
I don't know what happened. I don't know. Lisa, who gets to go to LA Rising and is also eligible for the grand prize drawing happening later today to go see Muse again at Lollapalooza in Chicago next weekend. Who's our big winner here?
Our big winner's Tiffany.
Hang on one second.
Oh, I love Tiffany.
Before I
Tiffany
go to Tiffany,
and Debbie Gibson.
I need to start the music again. We ran out.
All right.
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Line 3.
is she? Oh, there she is. I
think we're alone now.
Tiffany, congratulations.
I love that song.
Hello?
Hello, yeah, I'm here.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We will see you at LA Rising.
Okay, thank
thanks for
you
playing
so much.
Sump Rodney. Rodney?
The Bengals.
I don't want to thank you for coming in today, but thank you for anyway. We appreciate
bad rap.
It.
Okay.
So Beavis and Butthead is back, apparently, on MTV. Now 120 Minutes is coming back on MTV, and we'll talk to the once and future host, Matt Pinfield, in just a few minutes, plus director Jon Favreau from Cowboys and Aliens on the way here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how about our friend Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show on G4 on the line with us now? Hey, Kevin, how are you, man?
Hello. Good morning.
We missed you at Comic-Con. How was your experience? Have a great weekend.
It was insane. Yeah, it was buckets and buckets of Purell and self-hate and and snickering madly at all the people crammed into ill-fitting costumes. It was actually a wonderful, wonderful Comic-Con, a huge turnout, and everybody had a great time.
It is funny that people would go to that kind of trouble to dress up and the costumes don't fit. I mean, that, yeah, really, if you're going to go to...
You spend all year toiling on the costume, right, and you eat ungodly amounts of Fritos, and you chug Mountain Dew through the process. So when you get to the finish line, you didn't anticipate the growth and, you know, the size growth.
So maybe starting now for next year, take that into account. Make your costume like three sizes bigger than it needs to be, and then you'll be fine. Yeah.
Two sizes too small. It's much more hilarious that way.
We were joking. We had Chris Hardwick on with us there, your colleague from G4. Mm-hmm. We were joking what the autograph sessions were going to be like. And because you're the same way as Chris is. You have a super hot female co-host, so you just sit there and watch her sign autographs at your booth, right?
I mean, yeah, for the most part. I get that, you know, I am the window dressing at the booth, which is always hilarious. They're actually always there. For Candace, and
exactly.
It was her first Comic-Con, so it was cool to watch that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, listen, the reason we wanted to have you on here today is I'm drowning. Look, I love the internet as much as anybody. I live on the internet. The internet's my favorite thing in the whole world. I think, honestly, it's the greatest invention in my lifetime is the internet. I really do. But I'm getting a little bit overwhelmed, particularly with the rise of social media. I enjoy Twitter very much. I don't even have Facebook. So you can imagine what it's like for me when I get all of these other requests and I'm always hearing about LinkedIn. And now here's this Google Plus that everybody's insisting that I get. And I don't know. I mean, you can't do it all. I need some help on figuring out what's worthwhile of the new things. So we got a couple we want to run by you, Kevin, and maybe you can explain to us what they're like and whether they're worth our time, okay?
Certainly.
Now, obviously, I mentioned Google Plus. Just by the fact that it has Google in the name, I assume it has billions of dollars behind it. And like most Google products, it's probably pretty well thought out. What's it supposed to be all about?
Well, so Google Plus is supposed to be like the crossroads between Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
It's supposed to allow you to set up this profile just like Facebook and add all your friends, but it introduces the concept of these rings, these social rings, where I could say, I have my coworkers, I have my family, I have my internet-only friends, I have my bros, which was literally one of the groups that they used.
Sweet.
Like Epic Bros.
Bros.
In their demo video, it said, if you want to create a group, and Epic Bros was one of those groups. So I guess for body shots and cake stands, that's where you throw everybody. And the idea is that whenever you want to do an update or post a photo or share a link, you can sort of click and drag that content to the different rings, and it will control who gets to see that content, who is available
to.
And
then, so in other words, and then they'll retweet it, so it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Okay. You're just going to share it with the rest of the world. It's just going to take an extra second for it to propagate to your grandpa.
Right. So the big difference then between Google Plus and Facebook is Facebook, if you post something, everybody can see it. Google Plus, you can more easily target just the people you want to see it.
I mean, yeah, that's a distillation of it. And you still can control who sees what on Facebook. You can actually set up groups and you can set up privacy settings. It's just that the rings concept is built directly into Plus. That was sort of from the ground up. That was a feature they wanted. So it is far more elegantly integrated.
But it is
yet another social network. I have to point that out.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, though. Network. Is it – because to me it wasn't – I saw it. I looked at it. I went through it. It wasn't overwhelming enough to make me change. I was just like, it's not that much better.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, the tech community loves to sit in echo chambers and shout at how amazing they are to each other
right.
when they get invited to something and you can't or you haven't been. So that is why there's always initial interest in anything new. The moment you tell someone in the tech community, people are using insert shiny new toy here, they get all excited, they get all frothy, and they sit there and they scream at each other about how amazing it is. And then weeks later, they go, wasn't that great?
Sorry.
Now that we're sobering up, I guess it was just a couple dudes sitting in a room tweeting to each other.
So check out Google Plus if you want.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
I can certainly check it out, but it is not groundbreaking. It's going to take a while to see if it's even taking off.
Right.
I never cared about Foursquare. I still think Foursquare is one of the stupidest things. And now my Twitter feed is littered with nothing but Get Glue. Why do I care about Get Glue, Kevin?
I mean, if you care what people on your Twitter stream are watching on television, then you care about Get Glue. If you care about the video games they've completed, then you care about it. I am also in that camp. I have not checked in at a single restaurant or hotel in my life. I haven't told my iPad what I'm watching on television.
Yeah, you've been fine, and that has worked out fine for you, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm sorry that damages my tech credibility that I haven't let the internet know when the roll of toilet paper is out. But I just don't care to share that information
well,
with the world.
I wish you would share about the toilet paper, because that was very interesting.
This is Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show on G4, which is an awesome show, and Kevin is a very smart guy who knows about all new things. Let me turn our attention to music. Now, there are two things that I am interested in that a lot of people seem to be getting very, very excited about. Let's start with the one that a lot of people have been waiting to come to America for a number of years because of how successful it's been in Europe, and that is Spotify, finally available in the U.S. Some are saying, like our friend Carson Daly says, he really believes this is a game changer. What do you think, Kevin?
A lot of people are pointing to Spotify as a game changer. That is correct. So Spotify is basically a cloud-based music service. What that means is when people say the cloud, that's a fancy term for internet.
Right.
It means that all the songs live in the cloud, and we're talking millions and millions of songs. Spotify's database is huge, and the aspect of social sharing is built right into that, meaning if I go and I listen to a song and I like it, I'm a Spotify user, I can click to share it or add it to a playlist. And if you follow me on Spotify, you get access to that song as well. You don't have to pay. You can just click, and you get the entire song.
Huh, wow.
And that applies to the entire library.
But you don't own it like you don't on iTunes?
And therein lies the issue. I still think that the sort of music rental stuff is unproven. Now, there's other services like Napster and Rhapsody that do fundamentally the exact same thing without the social aspect sometimes.
Right.
And they've been going fine, and they have subscription plans, and that works. But at the end of the day, you don't own it. And I worry about the future where they say, okay, yes, you've been listening to all this music for X amount of time, but sorry, we're not going to support your mobile device anymore. Or this month, you're going to have to pay $60 more.
Or we're going to raise the money.
Interesting. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it weren't for that, if this were, you know, Nirvana or something and it were a perfect world, everybody would be on Spotify and nobody would ever download another song because they wouldn't need to. They'd have every song ever made available at their fingertips on any device. I mean, I think that's what the dream is, right?
Song that Nirvana has done is on Spotify?
No, it just doesn't have anything to do with the band. I'm just saying, there's no need to download it if you are guaranteed that you can access it from any device whenever you want. Right, Kevin?
Right. I mean, I think that is the utopia that everybody's driving towards, and not just with music, but with movies and TV shows and everything else. I mean, there's no reason technically why tomorrow we couldn't all as consumers be spending, let's say, $100 a month for a media pass that gives us unlimited access to everything. Movies, TVs, music, everything.
Right.
The only thing standing in the way of that are these major corporations that don't want that.
Sure.
Right. So, and what you're talking about, I mean, we've kind of already started down that path with Netflix. You know, granted, it's not everything yet, but there are thousands and thousands of movies that you can access from your
and
own
TV
home or
shows.
Device and TV shows whenever you want for a monthly fee. And eventually, I guess you're right, we're heading in that direction. All right, one more on the music thing, Kevin, and it seems similar to Spotify in that it has playlists and a social media aspect. But a lot of people that I know are really into this Turntable FM. How come?
Yeah, Turntable's it's a cute little thing. You connect it to your Facebook account, you launch into the service, and there's a list of rooms. And you can start your own room if you want, and you can call it the K&B Dubstep Lounge. And if you click on into that, you know, someone is actually DJing live music for that entire room. So you select a song, it plays and streams, again, from the cloud to everybody in that room, and everybody can sort of chat and hang out in these communal DJ lounges. And you can even say, you know what, I want to DJ next. And here's the song that I want to play, and everybody in the room can take a turn. And you can see in real time, do people like the crap that's on your iPod, or do they not?
That allows too many bad people to be picking music.
I love nothing more than going into a grunge or like a post-prog rock room.
Right.
Queuing up some Lady Gaga.
Yeah, of course. Play some disco. That's what I would do, is just go in and just ruin everyone's time.
Now, why wouldn't...
Song on the service.
Why wouldn't somebody like a DJ Tiesto or somebody like that go on Facebook and have a house party and just go and just spin for 2 hours for millions of people around the world to hear it at one time if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, the beauty of the service, though, is that I could go on and spin DJ Tiesto's song just as easily. I could cue him up and hit play.
That's true.
But I think that's a great idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see bands doing this and saying, hey, not only are we going to play our music to raise awareness and chat with fans, but we're going to play other stuff that we like.
This is very exciting. And, you know, I'm glad that a guy like you exists who's so into tech. You will never be out of work, Kevin, because there will always be something new that you can talk about and share with people. And that's so exciting, though, that's your field, because it changes, you know, week to week.
And we as consumers will always be behind because there's something new that somebody else is just hearing about, that somebody else is just getting on.
Right.
So it's important. We love having you on, Kevin. Thank you for taking the time today.
I always appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. Attack of the Show, weekdays at 7 on G4.
Right now, our old friend Matt Pinfield joins us. 120 minutes with Matt Pinfield. Believe it or not, You're Not in a Time Warp is actually going to be premiering this weekend, Saturday night at 10 on MTV2. Matt, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Wait, are we saying hi to 1985?
Yeah, somebody might wake up and think that they're actually... they woke up in a dream and it was 96 again or something. But yeah, the show is back. It's exciting. It's a 2-hour show. Of course, it's 120 minutes.
It is 120 minutes. That is the title.
Oh, I see. It's 2 hours this time around. I understand. Matt, I'm sure you've answered a million questions about this, but it's funny how surprised we are that MTV has anything to do with videos right now. But I guess MTV2 has been kind of flying the video flag for a number of years. And, you know, it's just the main channel that really has been turned over to reality TV, right?
Yeah, I mean there's sports and reality shows on MTV2 as well. But I love the fact, I think, you know, for everybody, you know, I always joke around, you know, I used to run an alternative radio station on the Jersey Shore before my MTV days and DJ there. And people are always like, you know, what do you think of Jersey Shore being so successful? I'm like, well, you know what? It opened the door for them to actually say, hey, let's put a music show on again. So if you have success on a show like that, and it opens the door for me to get in there and get to be able to play cool bands and interview and show full videos. Yeah, you'll actually see at least 12 full videos during the show.
Wow, that's crazy. And you're also going to do interviews, and what kind of, you're going to feature new music still, right? That's the whole angle?
It's going to be, we've got like Joy Formidable, Sleigh Bells, a ton of bands on there, Black Angels. You also have Dave Grohl on there, Fires, King Leon. Like, so you'll have bands that you know from the alternative world, but you'll see a lot of new and up-and-coming things as well. And it's exciting for me. You'll see a few classic clips. So
right.
It'll be fun, but I'm so excited to do it, guys, and I'm just happy to be on your show again. It feels like it's usually South by Southwest.
Like it's South by Southwest time in Austin. Yeah.
Why do you think, Matt, they decided to bring back 120 minutes? I mean, that name must still resonate with people, I guess.
I always joke around and say, from Jack White to Jack Black to the Black Keys, every one of those guys have said to me, 120 minutes helped shape my musical taste. I love the show.
Yeah.
Meant the world to me. I could turn on a lot of stuff. So, I mean, from artists to, like, you know, I'm standing outside, just to give you guys a scenario where I am, I'm standing outside curbside check-in at JFK Airport in New York.
Oh, sweet.
And I'm flying down to take my daughter to meet Selena Gomez, the Disney pop star, and see her perform. Because, you know, she also, I brought her to meet Justin Bieber, too. So just, you know.
This is the deal.
Based on your children, you let them. Yep. Like what they want to like.
This is the deal. So, when you're a parent, you go against all of those things that you've always said. I would never go see fill in the blank. And then all of a sudden you have this person you love more than life itself, and you go, yeah, let's go see Selena Gomez. That'll be good. Matt, let me ask you this question.
That's the sad thing. You know, you love your kid. For me, seeing her that excited about music or about an artist, that's where I get the joy out of it.
All right, let me ask you this question, Matt, because I just want to make sure that the information that I'm getting is correct. MTV2 has so much confidence in 120 minutes that they're going to put it on only the last Saturday of every month. Is that correct?
I know, that sounds a little crazy. I know. Hey, you know, here's how I look at it.
So the first three Saturdays of the month are off limits.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I know people kid around about it, but hey, my answer to that is, hey, I'm grateful that they're giving it a start again to put it out there. Of course, I'm hoping that people will watch and get excited. And if they're not up to watch, they'll DVR the show or TiVo it.
Right.
And, you know, and then hopefully it'll be a weekly show.
And then maybe it'll be a bi-weekly show. Let's not rush it.
You know, it's funny, Matt. In our remaining moments here, Matt, can you hear us okay? Your phone's making a lot of weird noises.
I'm sorry, guys. It's probably this the connection I have through the airport here. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
All right, no problem. Just let me ask you one more question. When I think of 120 minutes, you're my host. You're the guy I remember watching on that show for years. But whatever happened to the guy before you? Where's that dude Dave now? Whatever happened to that guy?
Dave Kimmel lives in Thailand, of all places, and that's what I'm told. I heard he was back in the city not that long ago. He lives in Thailand. He got really involved in, you know, internet
porn
stuff after he was out of the show. and I haven't seen him in a long time. You know, they had me and him on the road cases that we used to sit the bands on.
Right.
In the very last 120 minutes, he and I were the guests. With the guy Jim Shearer playing some of our favorite videos from our era of being on the air. That's all I'm told. I don't know what he's doing for a living, but he's in Thailand.
It's so funny. Anytime you hear somebody's in Thailand, even if it's just for vacation, yeah. You never think good things about them. I don't know. I feel bad.
I don't know what he's doing, but it's bad.
You think it's Gary Glitter. And you know what? Gary Glitter was thrown out of Thailand, so what does that say about him?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, listen, we're out of time. We're going to let you catch your flight. Have a great time at the Selena Gomez concert. 120 Minutes with Matt Pinfield returns tomorrow night at 10 on MTV2, the last Saturday of every month, and then new episodes are also available after that online at MTV2.com. Matt, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, guys, great talking to you as always.
Thank you, man. Bye. We were talking about the Spotify music service a few minutes ago. You know, you can pay $4.99 a month, or you can join for free the beta version, but you need to be invited. So Dave, we're talking about Spotify on the air. Then Dave gets an invitation from his Twitter best friend for an invitation from Mike Tyson.
What?
Are you
Mike
kidding?
Mike Tyson direct messages Dave and says, hey, I can hook you up with a Spotify invitation if you want one. Let me know. For some reason, Dave and Mike Tyson are like best friends on Twitter. It's the weirdest damn thing I've ever heard.
It can't be him.
It's true. No, it is him. It's so true. Ask him about it. It's crazy. But for some reason, Mike loves Dave. Is this thing on?
Yeah, it is.
We can't get our head around it.
It's impossible. We can't process it.
All right. Well, we can bring David and you can ask him about it anytime we have the opportunity to do it. But it's been hilarious to watch their romance bloom on the internet.
That's sweet.
All right. Jon Favreau joins us after the top of the hour. Now here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Sounded good, B. Sounded good.
Thank you.
Have you picked up smoking?
I'm drinking a big glass of milk, That's not the best thing for my vocal cords.
All right. If you'd like to see the change-up at the red carpet world premiere, I've got passes to give you. August the 1st, Monday, August 1st, will be the world premiere of the change-up. You can check it out with Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds. The stars will be in attendance, and so will you if you're one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. First two callers get a pair of passes. Movies and theaters everywhere Friday, August the 5th. But you'll be able to say to your friends, I saw it before anybody else, with the stars.
Oh, did you see it with the stars? No,
that must have been me. Never mind.
That was me.
Also, this weekend, Saturday night, come check out me and Kevin Smith as we do our Hollywood Babylon show live up at the John Lovitz Theater on Universal City Walk. 10 o'clock Saturday night. We'd love to have you there. You can go to Babble on Ralph or BabbleOnKev.com for details and to buy your tickets there. But we're back from Comic-Con. First show back in L.A. since we've been on tour. Woo!
On tour.
Woo! Out there on tour.
You're 1 week on tour?
Turn the page. I know how it is, man, when you're out there when you're on the road and you come into a bar and someone says, is that a man or a woman? They can't tell because your hair is so long and you dare not take a stand because
you have no idea what's happening.
It's rough out there on the road.
You didn't know what to expect from the Comic-Con show. How'd it go?
It was different.
Yes.
It was interesting.
Yes.
Here's the thing. We have a highly honed program that we've done for almost exactly a year now.
Right.
And so by now we've got it down at the Lovitz. We know the technical aspect of it and all the elements are in place.
Video, that kind of
video,
stuff.
Video, audio, pictures we put up on the screen.
Right.
We've got a multimedia presentation as we do our hilarious entertainment news comedy. Going into a new venue for the first time, not knowing the exact lay of the land, as it were.
I'm a little worried about that. You were.
Can lead to some glitches. Some would call them fiascos. Other people might call them.
So we've decided next time we do it on the road, and we got show in Vegas coming up, August 12th and 13th. We're playing Vegas, and then we're doing New Mexico and Texas later in the month in August.
What's happening?
We are on the road, and that was our first one. We decided we're going to pare the show down a little bit, make it a little more bare bones presentation.
Show.
Exactly. We're going to alter the content just a little bit to make it a little more technical proof.
So you just hold up a picture.
That's what I would do. I'm not even going to talk. I'm just going to hold up cue cards of things that I've written down, and people will be able to read them for themselves. So we have to worry about microphones either, because that was another issue
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, I know this taking it on the road can't be your idea, because you are very much a coast snob. Like, you hate New Mexico and Texas and everyone in those states, right?
I have never been to New Mexico. I'm looking.
But you hate it anyway, right?
I don't hate New Mexico. I have no reason to hate New Mexico. I hate Dallas, Texas, just because it's the home of the Cowboys. But
that's acceptable.
But I remember fondly when I first drove out to California from my home city of Philadelphia, when I moved out to California. I spent a especially long lingering time in Texas because the average girl working behind the counter at the Dairy Queen in Texas looks like a freaking beauty queen.
That is true.
It's insane, the quality and level of hot women in Texas.
And they don't realize that.
Nope. They just think that's the way life works.
That's the way everyone looks.
Oh, what? I'm a 10 and I work at Staples selling ink cartridges?
So?
And isn't everyone a 10? No! Just all the chicks in Texas for some reason. I'd go to these podunk guys that you had to pull off the road to get a bite to eat or stay at a motel or something on the road. And the most average girl in a small town in Texas would be just stunning.
Not that I've ever
been
to a strip club.
Charming and the accent and everything. Oh, just beautiful women in Texas.
Not that I've ever been to a strip club.
No, I know you don't
frequent
those.
Strip clubs in Texas are
ridiculous.
You've heard.
I've heard.
You know, didn't they discover Anna Nicole Smith working at a Dairy Queen in Nahia, Texas?
Yes.
Wow.
It's just nuts. So I'm looking forward to our Texas swing. We're doing Houston and San Antone, as they say down there.
So nice.
But you can see it here locally in your own backyard.
Your every Friday night deal.
Saturday night.
Saturday night deal.
At 10 o'clock at the John Lovitz Theater. Please come.
In San Diego.
No, not in San Diego.
Oh, sorry.
While we're talking about hot chicks and Anna Nicole Smith and Playboy and Playmates and the like, a lot of Playboy Playmates are coming forward now. Stand up for their man Hugh Hefner.
Oh.
Coming out to dispute Crystal Harris's claim in an interview recently that she only had sex with Hugh Hefner once and it was over in 2 seconds, she said. This woman has to pour salt into the wound.
Yeah,
she has to add
kidding.
Insult to injury after she left the poor guy standing at the altar.
It was the week of the wedding, right?
Yes.
And yet willing to marry him.
Right.
Well,
and
those
they had sex once, and she it only lasted 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
But she said yes, and she kept the ring. Uh-huh. I know that much.
Sure.
So a lot of other playmates that Hefner has spent time with are just coming forward and saying, no, we've had sex with him, and it was fine, and we had a good time, and it was lovely. So good for those girls for lying. Rob Kardashian of the Dancing Kardashians.
I don't know the Dancing Kardashians.
Has been locked in, according to TMZ.com, as the latest and first announced cast member of Dancing with the Stars the next season. So Rob's going to be there just hoofing up a storm.
Well, they certainly are going for A-listers next season.
Finally, they are coming back to the big, big, high-powered entertainers we all want to see on our television.
Now, do you think that choice is only because they know that an assortment of sisters will be in the audience, and that'll be good for their show to have them out there?
I'm guessing that's the case.
Of course.
Yeah. I berated Lisa Mae a little bit because she was talking about Rob, and I said I had no idea who Rob Kardashian is. How could I? But then I remembered I did watch one episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, where there was a charity boxing tournament going on. Do you remember this episode?
Oh, yes, I do.
I did tune into that one, and I saw Rob Kardashian get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
So that was entertaining. So I say bring back celebrity boxing and forget Dancing with the Stars. Put Rob on that.
Put them together.
That was a good
box. You dance
dancing
the first
with the stars.
And then you box.
Oh, man. J.J. Abrams, come on now. Come on now.
Come on now.
He's working on Star Trek, the next Star Trek movie, second one.
Yeah.
I loved the first one. That was great.
I did, too.
It was great.
Can't wait for the next one.
Me, too.
But apparently, he's running behind schedule.
What's he got going on?
I know. Was Super 8, really? Was that the one that got in the way of our Star Trek movie?
Doesn't he have, like, 2 TV shows this year, too?
He does. He's overextended himself. And so now it's been announced that the second Star Trek movie will be out sometime in 2013.
Boo.
We gotta wait for that.
for that then.
Come on.
Do I need to mark out the whole year? Save the whole year?
Early 2013.
Okay, just the first 6 months.
Yeah,
all right.
First 6 months. Resolve that. Chris Pine will be as old as Shatner by the time we get around to making the second one.
It's ridiculous. Cannot accept it.
Look how late I'm running. Today's celebrity birthdays. Will Wheaton is 39 years old. Speaking of Star Trek, he was in The Next Generation.
Yes, he was.
He was a little kid on that show. And someone wrote in and told me Will Wheaton is now on Falling Skies on TNT.
I watched that show.
I watched that show, too. I don't recognize him in that.
But he must not be then.
He must have changed.
If you guys are both watching.
No, I wouldn't
recognize
him.
It's possible. Maybe he's grown up and changed so much that I don't recognize him, but I watched that show and I didn't know he was in it. So maybe I'm wrong and Kevin's wrong, or maybe the listener's wrong.
I can almost guarantee I'm wrong. Well, I mean, that's a given.
I'm on your side on this one, so if that's the case. Beerlong's going to do a quick IMDb here, I think, and see what comes up.
Yeah, he can't type those, so you might want to...
I know there's Stewie in front of Will Wheaton. I don't
understand
that at all.
We're a little late, so you may want to...
The King says that Will Wheaton is on The Big Bang Theory, but that's not what you're talking about at all.
That's not Falling Skies at all, is it?
No.
So maybe the listener was wrong.
Yes.
If that's the case, sir, you're no longer welcome.
Big Bang Theory.
Stephen Dorff is 38 years old today. Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother is 37. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley is 34 years old today. And Allison Mack, she played Chloe on Smallville for 10 seasons on that show, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hi, this is Jon Favreau. This is just a drop. I said we go to his Trough Dolph bar in Red Hook, and we just drop off the bag like we said and get on the plane and go home.
The daredevil.
Why you read that trash?
Hearing stories about this guy for years, there's got to be something to it.
Like the alligators in the sewers?
Don't ride my ass about the alligators. I got a friend in sanitation, okay? He's seen them.
Your money. 213-555-4679. Sounded like your machine might have cut me off. My number is 21...
Leave a message.
213-555-4679, that's it. Just want to leave my number. I didn't want to think I was weird or desperate. And I'd just rather speak to you in person instead of trying to fit it all into...
Wow. Remember back when he was only an up-and-coming actor, and now he's one of the biggest movies directors in the world. Back with Cowboys and Aliens in theaters everywhere today, our old friend Jon Favreau, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jon, how are you, man?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
It's so great to talk to you. So great
Thank
to
you.
Talk to you. Congratulations.
Thank you for that retrospective. That was a very moving retrospective
and,
you guys just did.
And it was very heavy on your really, really early work.
Yes.
Look, like all good news organizations, we have Young Hollywood's obituaries prepared, ready to go in the event of an actual emergency, John. So we're ready to hit the air in the event that something goes wrong with you.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess it's only pragmatic.
All right, John. All right. Let me tell you my response to Cowboys and Aliens, because it says what I think about you. I saw the beginning of the trailer, and I went, oh, no, they're not going to try and do Aliens and Cowboys. No, this is a bet. And then it said directed by the guy who directed Iron Man. I was like, Favreau directed it? I'm so 100% in.
Oh, man, that's a huge compliment. And you know what? It requires that, you know? It requires that because people do not know what to make of it. It's it was so much fun to do, and the people who I partnered up with here, whether it's Spielberg or Ron Howard or the actors Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, we all love the Western, and it was like we were like kids in a sandbox playing. And there is so much fun has gone into this movie, and now, you know, it's opening today, but the midnight show started last night, and I haven't slept at all because this is my first movie since Twitter. And they were talking all night.
I don't remember the movie Twitter.
There's a movie called Twitter now.
It was low budget.
It's very short. It moves quickly.
No, I'm sorry. So you wanted to see what people were saying.
They were, you know, and I don't know if you guys do the Twitter thing.
But sure, yeah.
So, there were trending topics, and usually a movie or something, like if we did like a Super Bowl spot, maybe Cowboys and Aliens would pop in. It's been pinned trending all night, and I woke up this morning. I didn't go out last night to the midnight shows because I wanted to call into you guys early. I couldn't go to sleep because I just kept reading people, getting real people's response to it, and people were having their minds blown. And it's so much fun as a filmmaker to see that kind of response.
That is interesting that you get that instant feedback from people. Do you ever answer any of the criticisms on Twitter? Would you ever do something like that if there are any?
you don't want to get into a you don't want to get stuck in a conversation like that,
yeah.
Because it just you can't do it in 140 characters, and it just you know, it's,
well,
it's
it doesn't take much time
about
to write F you.
But you can. I don't think that's, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But what's amazing is that people, it's a very, look, we want to do something original and different, and I've never done something this original and different before. Everything's been kind of, you know, a little bit of a progression of what I've done. But I figured I was in a position now in my career where I could really do something I was passionate about excited about. And to read the response, it's people didn't know what to expect. And when they come out of the theater and when they love it and tell me they didn't know what it was going to be, but they took a chance because it was me and they really loved it.
Oh, that's great.
That's really gratifying.
John, what's it like for you, not only as the director of the film, but as a fan of movies, to realize you're looking at freaking James Bond and freaking Indiana Jones? I mean, does it ever go through your mind, oh my God, Han Solo works for me? I mean, do you have thoughts like that?
Well, when I first met with him, it was really, I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot to be intimidated by in this project. First from Steven Spielberg, meeting with Steven and meeting with Ron Howard, and then to sit in a room and try to convince Harrison Ford to be in a movie, a science fiction movie, which he hasn't done really since the Star Wars films or
well,
Blade
the last
Runner.
Indiana Jones, if you don't mind my saying.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you could. I would think of that more as an adventure film. with a dash of sci-fi.
At the end, right. All right. No, but was it a tough sell anywhere along the way? I mean, I know it was a comic book, but I'm not a comic book fan, so was it a tough sell to say, okay, aliens and cowboys, and then people go, I don't know. And
it's still a tough sell. People don't know whether to lose their mind or laugh. They don't know if it's going to be funny, and then aliens are eating people. It's a very strange combo, but I have to say it's I don't think I could have done this movie any time before now. It's such a delicate tonal thing, and I was really, really happy with how it came out, but I had such great collaborators, and to have Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, who both have, you know, a tremendous wealth of knowledge of how to carry an action movie and what the rules are and how to work the tone of the humor. I can't remember a better experience making the film or feeling more satisfied coming out.
Did you have to at any point ask Harrison Ford to speak up? Because he doesn't talk very loudly anymore.
Oh, he kind of talks low.
He's a mumbler. Kinda,
and then he'll yell and just shatter your ears. He's got
this
that
is the
booming, not since, you know, he's got like the voice of like when your grandma walks in the room on you and you're doing something you're not supposed to
but
do.
But he doesn't use that one very much.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Okay. That's good to know, because we thought he was pacing himself to live to be a million.
Did you see the Chewbacca sketch that we did on Jimmy Kimmel?
That was so funny, John.
Yeah. No, that was so funny. And this is the voice of John Favreau. He's talking about, John is talking about directing an episode, a very special episode of our friend Jimmy Kimmel's TV show the other night, which was hilarious. Cowboys and Aliens is in theaters today. You talk about, you love Westerns. You always wanted to be part of a Western. What's it like dealing with that many animals? We heard the story Olivia Wilde's been telling about the near stampede. I mean, what's that like to be in charge of making horses in large numbers run in the same direction?
It's really scary. You know, you got to have expert riders, and you got to have people who've been around them. And fortunately, the minute you say you're doing a Western, everybody comes front and center and comes out of the woodwork, because everybody's dying to be in a Western or work on a Western, whether it's a cameraman or a rider or a wrangler. So you get all the best people who are still around.
That's nice.
But what's scary is these horses. I mean, I'm a city boy. They're not CGI. They do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know? And they're big and they're scary and they're dangerous. And when you're shooting guns and blowing things up and setting things on fire around them, they're unpredictable, and you don't want to do too many takes. And the other thing I learned is every take they get faster, because they're real competitive with each other. And they know if they have to run, it turns into a horse race.
Really? So,
interesting.
The minute you do more than like two or three takes of something with a group of horses, that's when the stunt guy tells you, all right, let's not do too many more of these.
You should have had some kind of expert on the staff.
Oh, we did?
Okay, I see.
We had a few.
One more question, John, because you know what the mentality of this show is. You've been coming on for years. But how much of Olivia Wilde naked do we get to see?
Not as much as we did on the set, unfortunately.
That, is that going to be on the DVD?
There is going to be an unrated DVD. I don't know how far we're going to go with nudity. We were pretty respectful of her.
But she's so hot.
It's PG-13.
We
you
know.
You get to see it. Let's say it's someplace between House and the Natasha Kinski poster of her clutching a snake. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
I look, just give me some side boob. That's all I'm asking. Is there at least some side boob?
There's she's a very beautiful woman.
She is.
And she's
okay.
Very free with her body.
Okay.
And the Apache
better.
Extras.
So you're the one not sharing. It isn't her. She's fine.
Well, I would look, you know, I love you and I love your fans and I would show everything if I could. But
All right. Well, you're dead to me now. Thanks. Thanks, man. Cowboys and Aliens, couldn't be more excited about it opening up everywhere today. It's always, as I said, we brought you on, John. You know, we go back a long way, but it's still exciting for us to have you on. Thank you for, we figured you're so big now, you'd be Seacrest only, but we appreciate you carving out some time for the little people.
Are you kidding? we've been doing this for, 15 years?
I know, but have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, John. Thank you. Don't read Twitter all weekend. You need a break.
All right.
It's Friday, and Ralph Garman joins us for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies, Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting bunch of movies opening up in Cineplexes this weekend, starting with a film that's in limited release, but certainly worth checking out, getting rave reviews. Attack the Block is the name of the film. With our buddy Nick Frost.
Nick Frost,
this week about it. It's being produced by Edgar Wright, his longtime friend and co-worker. They did Hot Fuzz together and also Shaun of the Dead. And this seems just as interesting / fascinating. It's the story of a low-rent British housing estate that gets attacked by aliens. And these teenagers have to rise up and protect their home.
It's like no one believes them. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks very entertaining. Attack the Block is the name of it. If you would like to check it out, here is an edited down version of the trailer to give you some idea.
What is that, cuz?
That's an alien, bruv. Believe it.
Yo, check it. More
what?
Them things.
Lovely fireworks.
Tsunami. It's an alien invasion.
Of course it is.
I'm killing them straight. Let's get tooled up, blood.
We have to call the police.
You'd be better off calling the Ghostbusters, love.
Now what's wrong with you, man?
You got two.
Jesus, he looks about six.
A 9 1/2.
We need to get off the streets. Back in a block.
All right, I got a couple of words of that.
You don't understand the...
Not much.
The hardcore British accents?
But when I watched the trailer, you can read their lips and you can tell what they're saying. It looks great.
Yeah, very entertaining. Also, the Smurfs opens this weekend.
Oh.
Oh, it's going to be so good. You're going to see. It's going to be good. The Smurfs.
This is for a certain crowd.
Children.
Yes, and Dave is not
and
a member.
Like dumb children. Like mentally handicapped children.
True.
That's what it's for.
Little kids. It's for kids.
Barely, though. Because even kids aren't watching Smurfs. Smurfs isn't a popular cartoon now. Smurfs.
I hear you.
We're not funny when they were on the first time. The first go-around with the Smurfs. They were just annoying little merchandised characters. Now it's back. Smurfs.
And Dave's happy.
Here's the premise. They get chased out of their little mushroom homes by the evil wizard Gargamel, of course.
Of course.
And so they have to go to New York City.
When we were talking to Dave, he was like, yeah, Gargamel.
Yeah. So they mail themselves to New York City, and Neil Patrick Harris gets a box of them sent to him. And he opens it up, and then Neil Patrick Harris's girlfriend really falls in love with him, and this movie's just a fantasy on every level, this movie.
This sounds like the Penguin movie. It sounds like the exact same plot as the Penguin movie, except instead of opening the box with penguins that the girlfriend falls in love with, it's Smurfs.
There's a YouTube video online where they take the trailers of Mr. Popper's Penguins and the Smurfs.
Oh, really?
And run them side by side and just highlight the exact same scenes and moments in the film that get played out in both. So, for those of you who love Mr. Popper's Penguins, you're going to love Mr. Hauser's Smurfs. Smurfs. Here's a scene where Neil Patrick Harris is researching the Smurfs on Google. See, it's funny because they put current references in the movie.
Sure.
See why it's funny?
It says here Smurfs are mythical creatures from Belgium, also known as Strumpfs,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Documented by Peyo.
Also says that they bring good luck.
like leprechauns to the Irish.
Okay, to review. You guys come from a magic forest where you live in oversized mushrooms.
Yes.
You're being chased by an evil wizard.
Yeah.
And you're trapped in New York until there's a blue moon.
Very good.
And you like to use the extremely imprecise term Smurf for just about everything.
Smurf, exactly.
Did it say Smurf, exactly?
F. You.
And why does the Smurf guy have a lower voice than any of them?
Because he's Papa, I guess. He's the mature Smurf.
He's the James Earl Jones of Smurfs.
If you see Dave anytime this weekend, feel free to hit him in the head with a ball peen hammer.
Hit him in the Smurfs, that's what I say.
Crazy Stupid Love, now we're talking. Now we're getting
now
to
we're
real
talking.
Movies. Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, Emma Stone. Just looks just awesome. Steve Carell is a married man who goes through a crisis with his wife. They separate. He has to attend couples therapy. He's trying to maintain his relationship with his kids and also trying to regain his manhood all at the same time with the help of manly man Ryan Gosling. Just looks funny and touching and poignant and interesting and everything you could want.
It appears to be just a chick flick.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
But guys, you're going to get a lot of points if you take your woman because it's going to be good for you too.
Yeah, I think this looks far beyond the average chick flick. And here's some scenes where Ryan Gosling is trying to help Steve Carell regain his manhood, starting from the bottom up, literally, with his shoes.
These are my 407s.
Oh, they're 407s. Can I see them?
Yeah. These offer a lot of support.
Right.
Whoa, come on!
What are you, in a fraternity?
Are you insane?
Are you in a fraternity?
You could have hit somebody.
Are
what
you?
Was that?
I'm asking you a question. You in a fraternity?
No.
Are you Steve Jobs?
What?
Hold on a second. Are you the billionaire owner of Apple Computers?
No.
Oh. Okay, well, in that case, you got no right to wear New Balance sneakers ever.
That's true. You really don't.
He sounds very funny in this.
Never a good idea. Yeah, Ryan Gosling, not known for his comedy, but apparently he acquits himself quite well in this.
Sounds very funny.
I'd still rather see the Smurfs. That looks funnier to me.
Dave, Ralph, Kimberly writes in about your comment about the dumb kids that want to go see the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Tell Ralph that my son is autistic. He doesn't even want to go see the Smurfs with me. So please lay off the special needs kids. Right. They have taste too.
My apologies. I know that was really unkind to lump special needs children in the same group as Dave, the king of
right,
Mexico.
Exactly.
That is an unfair characterization, and I apologize humbly.
He is in his own group.
Yes, he is. And Cowboys and Aliens, we just talked to the man behind it all, Jon Favreau, Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, and even Apache Indians must lay their differences aside when an alien spaceship attacks Silver City, Arizona. They have to band together and battle an even bigger enemy, the aliens.
I don't know what it is, but it's bleeding.
That's the same direction those machines went with our kin. He's going to be able to track it in the dark.
Round up the horses, get some supplies. We'll set off first light.
You're going with us. I need that weapon. It's the only thing that counts. I figure you owe me.
I don't see it that way.
Dude. You see it that way now? He does mumble some, but then he shouted,
Round up the horses!
We're going to need subtitles for this film.
This is going to be good, right, Ralph?
I think so. I think this kind of subject matter in the hands of Jon Favreau, it'd be hard to go wrong and not have a good time, at least in terms of like a popcorn movie that you want to go in and get some air-conditioned movie time in the summer months. How the Cowboys and Alien looks like just the prescription. Crazy Stupid Love, like I said, looks like amazing performances. Attack the Block, good stuff coming from the UK, and then the Smurfs. Dave.
Not my fault.
Yeah, it is your fault. It is your freaking fault.
In that order, by the way.
Oh, he's going to be so good. Everyone's going to love it.
Oh, God, I can't wait till he's dead. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
My name is Paul Rodriguez.
I used to see friends skating out in front of the school, and I used to ask them if I could see their board, if I could try Ollie on it or whatever. For that Christmas, I saved up my money, and I bought me my own skateboard, and ever since then, it's been an addiction.
Addiction.
Pretty much spending all my free time skating. I love skateboarding because it gives me a good feeling, a sense of satisfaction. I feel like I work hard to learn a trick, and when you work so hard and you finally accomplish something, you feel good. I can't complain. I'm happy traveling the world.
What's going on? This is Paul Rodriguez, professional skateboarder.
Hell no, you can't complain, Paul. You are living the life, and this has got to be the weekend that you look forward to all weekend long. X Game 17 is in full effect. Paul Rodriguez back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Were you there? Were you there last night or watching on the TV? Do you watch some of the other competitions out of your sport?
Sometimes, but I didn't watch last night at all. I was busy just running around checking in the hotel and everything, so I didn't get to see anything last night, but I'm going to probably check it on site today.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, it's so unbelievable. You know, we talk a lot about the hey, somebody's got company.
Yeah, my little daughter right here.
We talk a lot about how every hour of the X Games is awesome and is not to be missed. And what's beautiful about it is it's like watching the Olympics, you know, because every minutes there's something else with somebody else doing an unbelievable best-in-the-world type sport. But last night was just crazy with the big air and with the Moto X and stuff. You got to check out some of the highlights. It was great stuff. So what's the field look like for you this year? What's the talk in the skateboarding world this year, P-Rod?
The talk? I don't know. The course is really cool. It looks like they got some, like, studio design artist that came from Universal Studios or something, because like it really looks like a little city. So I think just the aesthetic and the look of the course is amazing. The obstacles are really fun, but as far as the talk is just, you know, just the regular X Games excitement.
How much
a lot
do
of
you,
great skaters?
How much do you get to practice on the actual course?
With X Games, they let you practice a lot. The course has been open since Tuesday. So I've been practicing since Tuesday, Wednesday.
I wanted to ask you another question, too, because you said in the open that we just played, you work hard to, you know, come up with a trick, and then you're so happy when you get to lay it down.
Yeah.
But then other people start doing it, and then you go, oh, now everyone's doing it. I got to come up with something else.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of it, man.
It's your daughter's unhappy with that, even.
Yeah, she's just woke up right here. That's the nature of it, man. That's why you just got to keep moving, keep learning tricks, and try to stay ahead of the curve. But it's just like with anything, you know, technology that happens. You know, somebody comes out with an iPad, and then all of a sudden everybody is trying to have the same type of thing, you know?
Do you have to kind of hide your good stuff when you're practicing?
Not so much with contests, because contests more so you're focused on having your hard tricks, but still having the most consistent tricks. Where you want to come out with the new productive tricks is with your video part. It's kind of like equal to an album for a musician. You know, that's where you come out with the trick that takes you 5 hours, or you know, you might come back to a spot 3 or 4 different times before you finally land it. That's where you come up with the new stuff. So that's kind of the stuff you keep secret. But contests, you just want to be consistent and land stuff. You know?
How many tricks/jumps do you have to do in the amount of? How much time do you have first?
They give you, it's new format, so they give you like 18 minutes with 5 guys, and each guy goes for 45 seconds at a time, and then once that guy's 45 seconds is up, immediately the next guy goes, and then the next
guy. God, it sounds like Lisa May's weekend.
Yeah.
So you kind of get as many shots at it as you want in that amount of time.
They just give you 18 minutes, however many times everyone can fit something in, and you just go and try the best stuff you can.
What, if you can put it into words, P-Rod, I mean, you've been skating since you were a little tiny kid, but what was it like to win the gold a couple years ago in street skating?
Dude, it's just a surreal feeling, man. You're standing there on this podium, they're handing you a medal, and you're asking yourself, is this really me? Like, am I really that guy right now? I'm the guy that they're giving this to?
When are they going to realize that it's me up here and they're going to bring up the real guy?
Like, because you feel like you've been asleep for the past hour and all of a sudden you're just waking up and like they're handing you this medal and you're just like, what's going on here?
But now at this point, you've got to be getting used to some of it because you've been doing so well for a while.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, you definitely, now that I've done well a little bit, you know, I expect good results, but still, anytime you come up with that win, especially because the competition is getting harder and harder every year.
Yeah.
Anytime you come up with a win, it's like the first time you've won, man. It's special. You never forget it. It's like, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just incredible.
And I also got to think that part of it is, of course, you're proud because you know how much work you put into it, and you also feel lucky and you feel blessed. But part of it has to be, especially for a guy like you who's grown up watching the X Games, hey, I've watched so many other people be on this podium at this moment. Now it's me. That just has to just make you just so excited.
Absolutely. It's just, it's the little kid's dream come true. And when you actually are living that dream, you don't even know how to react to it. I don't even react to it until like 2 days later when it hits me. I'm like, what the hell just happened? You know,
it's kind of in a daze.
Well, the skateboard street competition is going to be tomorrow. That's starting at 1:30 at the event deck at LA Live. And as Paul mentioned, it's a new course this year with a new look. And, you know, the best skateboarders in the world. It's going to be so much fun. We can't wait to watch it on the TV.
It's great. They have a lot of seating all around that, too. Yeah. There's plenty of seating for people. So it's really great.
It was so weird on Twitter last night to see all the people who are posting photos. I mean, really, really good photos, because so many places you can sit are up close to the action at X Games, which is so fantastic. You know, it's not like going to a football game or something where you're 2 miles back.
There's no bad seat in the house.
Yeah. Exactly. All over the ESPN and the ABC this weekend. And, of course, you can go to Ticketmaster to buy your tickets. That's the best way to do it, is to see it in person. P-Rod, great talking to you, man. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
Take care, boys.
Good luck.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, funny man D.L. Hughley joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
How would you like to go to the world carpet? Nope, the red carpet world premiere of The Change-Up. Brand new comedy starring Ryan Reynolds, Jason Bateman, Leslie Mann, who is very funny. Olivia Wilde also in this film.
Yes.
You may want to check it out. You get to see it before anybody else. How'd you like to walk the red carpet with Olivia Wilde? How would you like that?
Get
one of those upskirt photos.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. Oh, drop my cell phone.
is that part of the giveaway?
Next thing you know, TMZ's a knocking on my door. If you'd like to go, it's the red carpet world premiere Monday, August the 1st. You get to see it before anybody else. Because I love you, and I'm giving away passes. First two callers at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two people get through, get a pair of passes. For those of you who don't worry about it, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 5th. You can still check it out. Olivia Wilde, by the way, not unattractive.
Not a bit.
Here's the thing about Olivia Wilde. They were making this film, The Change-Up, and she was doing a sex scene with Mr. Ryan Reynolds. And she was supposed to be nude in the film.
Right.
But she instead was wearing pasties over her nipplage.
Right.
In order to protect her modesty.
Like they do.
That's sort of common, right?
Yes. Okay. What is uncommon is that they realized after they took a look at the footage when the shooting was done that Ryan Reynolds moves inappropriately at one point, and you can see her breasts in the scene, and you can see the pasties, which sort of kills the mood for the audience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what they had to do is they had to go back in and CGI in nipples for her. They had to make some CGI nipples for Olivia Wilde.
What? Okay, wow, that's weird.
And the weirder part still is, they sent over a selection of nipples for her to choose from.
Which
and
would
they
you
said,
like?
Can you tell us which one is closest to the original source material so we can match you best? And she said, yes, number 5, I think, would be the appropriate nipple for me, and that's the one they used in the CGI.
She didn't send him a photo back over?
She did not.
Okay.
She was a little concerned. She said, it looked so much like mine. I was wondering where they got the source material from, you know.
That's so funny.
She's been topless in a few films, so maybe they took a screen cap of something and used it. But I thought that was interesting, that the power of computers now, you can create nipples where there are none.
Huh.
You can't trust anything anymore. Ryan Gosling's abs aren't safe. Olivia Wilde's nipples. Mila Kunis's butt. There's no real body parts in movies anymore. Everything's Hollywood smoke and mirrors, people.
It's almost like movies aren't real. Keyboard cat, come on.
Come see me and Kevin Smith Saturday night, 10 o'clock, up at the John Lovitz Theater at the Universal City Walk. Well, you're not invited, so it doesn't matter. But these people are. The people listening, I'd like to have them come see me. Saturday night, 10 o'clock, John Lovitz Comedy Club. Me and Kevin Smith doing our Hollywood Babylon show. And we'd love to have you there. You can go to babbleonralph.com for details and to get tickets. And you can see us talk about Olivia Wilde's nipples and other things.
We have photos?
Yeah. We shoot dirty photos at the regular show.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think a couple weeks ago we showed we were doing a bit on superhero parody porn movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed an Incredible Hulk parody sex movie. We had some interesting stills from that movie to show you people. So you never know what you're going to see when you come out to the show. You might see that not all of the Hulk is green, for example.
How about that?
That's what we proved in that little sequence. Not all of the Hulk is green. You can guess what parts are not green. If you watch Entourage this season, the final season, you will notice at the end of it, there are no major plot lines resolved. No major deaths, no major plot lines ending. This all comes from creator Doug Ellen. We loved hanging with these guys, and we're going to miss them.
Well, what do you think that sets it all up for?
Movie.
That's right, Lisa May. We are going to do a movie. Doug said it's a question of when and how quick, but it will be done. So this isn't quite the end for Entourage after all. Don't you see The Adventures of Ari Gold up on the big screen?
Yeah.
In 3D?
He's the most interesting part of that show.
Because it's on HBO, I don't see the advantage of making it a movie. It's not like they are limited creatively by what they could do on television.
Yeah, but they're limited budget-wise. If they want to show Vince actually in a real film, you could actually have big budget special effects and stuff like that. You could expand that, I was thinking. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. While we're talking about movies, Joe Pesci is suing the producers of that John Gotti movie. Boy, that movie's got more troubles than any movie that hasn't been made yet. It's amazing the stories that keep coming out. Of course, Lindsay Lohan famously in that film. John Travolta stars as John Gotti in the movie. And now Joe Pesci is suing the producers.
Why?
Saying they offered him a lead in the film and then they backed out. He wants the $3 million they were going to pay him to play the childhood friend of John Gotti Sr. The film company says Pesci walked away from the film. They didn't rescind the offer, so I guess it will have to be settled in court.
Oh, so he didn't. He's not in it at all.
He won't be in it.
Oh,
no.
I see. I thought he had a lesser role.
No, apparently he was supposed to be in it, and then they offered him a lesser role, and Pesci said that it wasn't the role he was promised, and then they said, "Well, you walked away from that role." So there's a lot of he said in this, but we'll have to wait and see.
Is anyone else shocked that Joe Pesci could even be in consideration for a $3 million payday in a movie in 2011?
And not in a gangster movie,
Not in a gangster movie, no.
Especially one that stars Al Pacino and John Travolta.
All right.
Obviously, they got some money to spend.
Walked away how? How did I walk away from that role?
That's what he's going to be asking him in the courtroom. So we'll have to wait and see.
He's going to represent himself, I hope.
That's right. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Will Wheaton.
I'm sorry?
Will Wheaton.
Yes, Stewie.
39 years old today. Stephen Dorff, talented actor, is 38 years old. Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother, he is 37 years old. Danger Mouse from Gnarls Barkley celebrates his 34th birthday. And Allison Mack from Smallville turns 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Only cool thing about being a black comedian is you get to say shit other people can't say. That's the deal. Gas is so high, gas costs more than cocaine. I'm not saying I know, I'm just telling you it's high. This nation was founded by immigrants. Everybody in this mother took a boat. Some of us willingly. Women love to spend time with you, but only when you're doing the shit they want to do. Let's stay home and drink some wine and watch some porno. No!
One of our favorites, always a thrill to have D.L. Hughley back on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him on stage at the Irvine Improv all weekend long, and then next weekend at the Orleans in Las Vegas. D.L., how are you, man?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? How y'all doing, man? I'm going to Orange County, and you know how conservative they are. Every time I pass the county line, my car tips to the right.
you're at the Irvine Improv, which I know is a great place to do and see comedy. That's going to be tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night. So what have you been up to, man? How you been?
Well, I've been working. I just got on Twitter, so I'm in a Twitter battle with Anthony Anderson.
Yes. What's that about? What are you guys feuding over?
Well, we are feuding because if I get to 20,000 before he gets to 60,000, then if I get there first, he has to buy one of my listeners followers an iPad. If he gets there first, I have to buy one of his followers an iPad. And it's I'm at Real Deal Hughley. So
okay, and are you close?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
Did he get a head start on you? Did he already have a few thousand followers before you joined?
I actually just started. He actually had 54,000, and I had like 9,000. So. But I just started tweeting about 2 or 3 months ago. But it's just a lot of fun.
Okay. America likes fat guys, though, so you may lose this one, Dale.
Well, you know, he's the illegitimate love child of Shelley Winters and Rerun from What's Happening.
That's actually true. Hey, I had to ask, because every time we have you on, and one of the reasons I love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show is that you are a guy like me who pays attention to the news and finds the humor in every situation.
Right.
What's the way out of this debt ceiling expiration in like 3 or 4 days now? It seems like neither side wants to move. All they want to do is get on TV and yell how the other side won't compromise.
Well, we've come to that. Honestly, here is what's happening. The debt ceiling argument is funny to me because here's it in a nutshell. Listen, I know that I haven't paid the money that I owed you. but if you don't increase my credit limit, how can I pay you the money that I owe you?
Right. But we've all been there.
Right, right. That'd be great if it worked for Bank of America or Chase. But
yeah.
The idea that everybody wants to compromise except, you know, the Tea Parties who've gone there. And they've gone there with the edict that they were going to get spending down and that they weren't going to be held sway to the, you know, the musings of D.C. and the Beltway. And they're doing it, so you have to give them credit for that. But 10%, the Tea Party only represents 10% of the country. And if the 10% of the country actually gets to run the country, the blacks and the Latins want to try for a little while, can't we?
Hey, you got a black guy doing his best to run the country, but unfortunately, he's only one branch of the government. He can't do it all. And I feel for these Tea Party freshman congressmen, because that is how they got to Washington, is by promising. But unfortunately, what happens so often with politicians is they promise something that is in the real world impossible to uphold. Right. Once you get the job.
Well, here's the idea is that we owe China, you know, China underwrites 60% of our debt. They're our landlord.
Right.
And they're gonna we are in a position. This is the debt ceiling is not stuff that we want. It's stuff that we've already bought. So it's like refusing to pay your American Express bill.
Right. What they need to do is, and Kevin and I talk about this all the time, there are lots of reasonable, fair ways to settle something. It needs to be rock, paper, scissors. It needs to be mud wrestling. It needs to be one, you know, play horse. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could settle. Each side gets to pick a guy. Democrats pick one dude. Republicans pick one dude. They have some sort of a, you know, some sort of an Olympic style competition.
Arm
and
wrestling,
everybody agree. Arm
darts.
Wrestling, whatever it is, whatever everybody agrees.
They are trying to arm wrestle. And they are trying to arm wrestle. And, you know, John Boehner is from, you know, who is the in charge of the, you know, is the majority leader.
From Ohio, right?
And he's from Cincinnati, Ohio. Listen, all the thing you need to know about Ohio is that 300,000 manufacturing jobs had left, and so did LeBron. So
that's the important thing.
And just all the stuff that's going on. Like now, I guess a big thing now is Casey Anthony's mask is huge for Halloween.
Hot seller, right.
And the idea, and the people are angry. They're saying that Casey Anthony is a murderer, and the only way she got away with it is because she's very attractive. Well, there's a cautionary tale. Don't kill your kids if you're ugly. That's all I'm saying.
That's the takeaway from that?
that's a good lesson.
Even though she's a hideous, murderous, lying hooker, she has a nice ass. Let's be real.
So you cut her some slack, right, DL?
Are you kidding me? I would get a confession out of her. I swear to God, I would.
DL Hughley is on the phone of the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on stage tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday at the Irvine Improv, and then next weekend you're at the Orleans in Las Vegas. What's a high roller like you do in Vegas? What's your super secret tip of something that you love there?
I actually don't stay on the Strip. You know, Vegas is very funny because gambling and prostitution and drinking at all hours of the night is legal.
Right.
But giving money to a panhandler ain't.
There's laws against that?
Yeah, there's actually a law. And use of marijuana, you can have a joint, but if you proof of use is a felony. Like having a joint is a misdemeanor, like if you have one. But actually, if you have a half smoke joint, then that's a felony. So what's the point?
They really just make stuff up as they go because there's really no rules there.
No.
For real.
But I usually just stay. I stay out. I stay like I don't like to stay on the Strip. I gamble a little bit. I go to dinner and I play golf, and that's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah, DL's in a trailer in Pahrump. He wants nothing to do with the Sin City, right? Great live show. You got to see Mr. Hughley if you have not yet. As I mentioned, Irvine Improv. You can go to improv.com to buy those tickets, and then OrleansCasino.com for next weekend. And follow DL on the Twitter at RealDLHughley. So do that so he doesn't have to buy an iPad for somebody, because he's very cheap, and that would kill him to have to spend that kind of money. Thanks for coming on, man.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Congratulations to Tiffany Butts. Tiffany Butts from Paris, California, is our winner of the grand prize, by the way. She gets to see LA Rising tomorrow.
Not that Paris, Ralph.
Oh. And she's coming to Chicago to see Lollapalooza the next weekend to see Muse as well. So congratulations to Tiffany Butts.
I love all your movies, Tiffany. I've rented them all, especially Anal Invaders. That was my favorite.
It is 9:41.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got time for one more showbiz beat, but I'm guessing this is going to be the best one yet. Here's Ralph.
Me too. I've saved the best for last, people.
Excellent.
The last day of the week, last showbiz beat of the day. This is when it gets good. This is when
This isn't where you cut corners and
no,
rush.
No, this is where I open the floodgates. This is where I unleash the hounds.
It's just A-level, just gold.
That's all it is.
All right.
You're going to release the Kraken right now.
Release the Kraken.
Scarlett Johansson is the latest A-list celebrity to receive a YouTube invitation to the Marine Corps Ball. Listen, Marines, thank you for your service. Now stop it. We appreciate everything you do. We're glad you fight for the freedoms that we hold so dear. We're glad that the American way is possible due to your diligence. But seriously, cut it out with the YouTube videos.
We got an email from a Kevin Amin listener who's in the Marines the other day. Ralph, maybe you got it as well. I want to go to a dance with a celebrity, too. Can you hook me up?
Of course we all do. We all do. But there aren't enough celebrities to go around that would say yes to you. Proof in point, Scarlett Johansson said no to Sergeant Dustin L. Williams. She feels incredibly honored, she says. And she wants to recognize Sergeant Williams for his bravery, selflessness, and dedication to the United States and its people. This is the sweetest blow-off I've ever read. She is very
She's lying.
No, she's not. She's not lying, but she will not go with you. She can't make it, she says.
Well, I believe she's got a pretty busy schedule, don't you?
I believe she's Scarlett Johansson, and he's a Marine.
I don't know what that means.
That means, come on, she's got celebrities.
Well, it has
to
stop at some point. Yeah. I mean, at some point, all of the Marines are going to be asking all hot chicks to go.
Here's the truth. Mila Kunis doesn't really want to go either, but she was embarrassed into doing it on live television.
And she'll be cool about it.
Justin Timberlake doesn't really want to go, but he had to because he kind of made Mila Kunis go. All right?
Done.
Those people got lucky. Linda Hamilton has said yes, because no one remembers who Linda Hamilton is. She was in the Terminator movies.
Betty White said no, because she can't commit to being alive at
Betty White
in,
said no,
November,
because
right?
The guy that asked her was black. That's why.
That's not why. That's not a true story.
She hates
not true.
Oh, yeah. She hates
You're them. Making it up completely.
Hates blacks more than she does.
I didn't realize that was it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Anything to do with it.
What's your source? I didn't see that anywhere.
She's a racist of the highest degree. Could
KKK?
Not be more racist. Oh, yeah. She constantly wears those white sheets with a pointed hat.
What's your source? I didn't see that anywhere.
It was kkk.com.
That's racist. But in Miss White's defense, she owned slaves.
He was black in her defense.
She owned slaves also. You got to remember how old this woman is.
And her last name is White.
Absolutely. There's no way she can go with a black person. Dude should have realized that before he made his video. That's all I'm saying.
So sad.
To everybody that's already writing your angry emails, we were just kidding.
This is all just a joke. Yeah. Betty White is not a racist, but she does hate Jews. That's a fact.
That's not true.
She's an anti-Semite of the first order.
That's not true either.
Oh, does she hate Jews?
No, that's not true either.
So Scarlett Johansson did send a case of high-end champagne to the sergeant saying, please raise a glass to you and all the men and women of the U.S. Marine Corps, past and present. And thanks for your continued commitment to preserving the safety of our nation. So they'll have some high-end booze to drink there at the ball in her stead. Hardly the same thing, but maybe now her conscience is a little clearer. Because instead of making one Marine happy, she's making several Marines drunk. She's got that going for her.
Look, you can't have... this has to stop at some point.
Miley Cyrus was asked.
Nope.
She has yet to respond.
She wasn't asked.
She was asked.
No one asked.
But she just hasn't even responded yet. Hasn't even bothered to respond, Miley Cyrus.
She can't type.
She types with her teeth. Big llama teeth. No responding woman.
She can probably lift things with her teeth and open doors.
She can eat corn on the cob through a picket fence. That's all I know.
It's true.
Kate Moss is writing her autobiography. It's called Coke and Me. Me and Coke. No, sorry. It's called Heroin and Me.
Drugs are how I stay so skinny.
She wants to know that she's got a brain behind that skull-like face of hers. And she thinks people would be interested in the lurid details of her life of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and fashion.
She does look like more like a skeleton than any model, I think.
She is the crypt keeper of models.
She really is.
Why has she remained so unbelievably popular? I mean, she's still one of the biggest models in the world.
Yes.
She's been 15 years or something. It seems like she's been at the top of her game. Millions and millions of dollars a year. Why?
Every time I see her, I get grossed out. I don't know how she's that
I had that body when I was 11.
I think sometimes she can photograph well.
I don't even find her...
But that is still the exception versus the rule. When you're out, the paparazzi shots of her when she's out and about,
are not attractive at all.
No.
But for some reason, when they light her right and make her upright and I guess put the clothes on her, she can't pull
then
that off.
Then she's a C-minus in my book.
Look, she is by far, I think, the prettiest of the models. That's for sure.
What? The
prettiest?
No, I said she is far from.
Far from.
By far, she was the prettiest.
No. I meant to say she's far from the prettiest of the popular models. Don't get me wrong. But I do think she can photograph well in an exotic sort of way sometimes if it's done right. But if you saw her in the street, you wouldn't say, wow.
No,
not at all.
Look how hot she is.
However, she has led
an interesting life. She did, date a lot of rock stars and do a lot of drugs. And I think it could be an interesting read. I'd read that book.
No way. Not ever.
I would read that book, if nothing else, just for the smuggling tips. Just to know how to get a bindle of blow past security at an airport. I think she'd probably give you some insight into that.
She has an advantage on you with that.
No, I don't think so. And while we're talking about autobiographies, a legendary pop rock sensation of the 70s, Linda Ronstadt is writing her memoirs as well. Simon & Schuster announced yesterday the book is called Heart Like a Wheel, which, of course, was the title of her big smash hit, her first smash hit album, I guess, 1974 is when she had her first big album. And she reportedly reveals all, including her relationships with former California Governor Jerry Brown, who, by the way, is the current California governor.
Yes, but he was then when she had the relationship with him, too?
He was the governor at the time when they had the relationship. And she also dated George Lucas for a long period of time.
I want to be the governor. It seems like you just get your choice. Just get to...
Apparently, in this state you do, between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jerry Brown,
right.
You pretty much can just bang whoever you want.
It's hard to imagine now because Linda Ronstadt is a blob, but in the 70s she was a huge sex symbol, and it was a real... I mean, that was a great pull for Governor Brown to be living with her at the time.
No one could understand it. No one could comprehend how a guy like him could get a girl like that. Even when she was dating Lucas, which was late 70s, early 80s, she was still very, very beautiful, and and everyone was like, look at that doughy,
I don't remember her
sluggish
being
director, and how did he get her, people were asking. Of course, it was the 70s. Women did not exactly groom themselves the way they do now. And apparently, she was the inspiration for the Ewok.
Is that right?
Yeah, when he was sleeping with her, that's when he got the idea for the furry little friends from the Star Wars
mythos. He got something out of it,
mythos. So everyone walked away a little bit wiser, didn't they? I think they did.
They did.
Pull up a picture of Linda Ronstadt for Kevin, or like a good one, like a hot one, like a 70s one.
He did, and it wasn't very good.
Like the cover of the Living in the USA album, or Heart Like a Wheel, or something like that. I mean, she...
What's the one where she was wearing the silky hot pants and roller skates?
Yeah, I think
that's, roller
I think
skates. Remember that photo?
Living in the USA, I think it was that one. That was
Jesus. Have you ever seen that famous photo, Ralph, of her laying on a couch on top of Albert Brooks in the 70s?
No!
She's so hot.
Who's hungry?
I think they may have had it. They may have had a thing, too, by the way.
No way.
Yeah.
Not ever.
The album cover, bottom right-hand corner there, Muggs. That's the one we're talking about. Yeah, that was a good shot.
Really?
That was a good shot
right
there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She's short bus.
Oh, look at that.
Are you joking?
She's not short bus.
Look at her.
Well, how is she short bus?
She's short bus.
You're saying she looks mentally damaged?
Yes, as well as physically damaged.
Wow.
She's all out of proportion. Look, what's happening? That's the picture you wanted to prove that she's hot?
No, that... I don't understand how she looks mentally damaged there.
Look, I have vision that...
Because
you
she's
don't.
On roller skates?
I have vision that you don't.
You can see into her brain?
Yes. She just looks short bus. That's all I'm saying. You kept saying she's so hot. I don't remember her being hot, but all right, go ahead.
Will Wheaton is 39 years old today. Stephen Dorff turns 38. Josh Radnor, How I Met Your Mother, is 37 years old. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley turns 34 today. And Allison Mack from Smallville, she played Chloe on that show for 10 seasons, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This Monday morning, we have a brand new Kevin and Bean show, an X Games recap. We've got James Franco on the program.
What?
And why is Mike Tyson following the King of Mexico on Twitter?
Not. Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
I'm dangerously dry.
Just like the other one.
Wow!
This one seems to be about to quit.
spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go.
That's beer money.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Just like the other one.
Plug the damn hole.
This one seems to be about to end.
Do you smell it?
I don't have another cent.
Just stop and get a life. Porn's not even good anymore.
I'm Mark Thompson.
Let's pass it around.
Adios, Aspies.
I like puppies.
What's the time, man? Oh, heck. You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
This has been based on a true story. The motherfucking end.
I think they are going. I can't believe it's over already. That's not fair.
Excuse me. If you can hear me, okay, I see security is coming, so I just want to say, damn it. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your time, and drive safe.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday party.